Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
There's season more on that coming up in just a little bit. We have tickets for you to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in action this season. These are vouchers, so you can use them for any Rough Riders game that you would like. And the only way that you can win them is by joining us here at Mulligan's. The very own one and only Buddy Lee is here. I actually didn't recognize Buddy today. We were leaving the station at the same time. He's got his khaki pants on and a collared shirt. No stains, nothing. We'll work on the stains because at Mulligan's, they've got great specials here on Thursday night. 6 until close, half price wings. That's why Buddy is here. But right now, if you walk in the door, it is happy hour. Happy hour until 6 o'clock tonight. $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks from now until 6 o'clock. So come on in, get your drink on, and then half-price wings from 6 until close. Thursday night football tonight, Tennessee at Jacksonville. The Jaguars getting 1.5 points at home with the people's quarterback, Gardner Minshew II, under center. The over-under, according to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, 38.5 points on that game tonight. Love the Thursday night unders. They tend to come home, and
especially
cash
with those two teams.
Yeah, that's not exactly a marquee matchup. You may need some tall boys and half price wings to make it through Thursday night football, but I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of people in here watching baseball coming up at 6 o'clock. Cubs and Cardinals. Again, Rob Raines with us at 5:30. Longtime beat writer who's covered the Cardinals, and Jesse Rogers will be with us at 6:05 tonight. You could be with us as well. Again, the address, 1060 Old Marion Road on the northeast side of town. Very easy to find Mulligan's. Just take the 42nd Street exit and head east until 42nd Street comes to a T with Old Marion Road. Take a left-hand turn, and you'll see Mulligan's about a block and a half up on the left-hand side. Pull into the parking lot, and you too could be enjoying those $2 tall boys and half-price domestic bottles and well drinks at least until 6 o'clock. Lots more to get to on the program today, including Scott Van Pelt dragging a Nebraska fan on the heels of George Kittle's appearance on SportsCenter last night. We'll play for you in the 5 o'clock hour tonight what George Kittle said that led to Scott Van Pelt taking a shot at the Nebraska fan base. I think this is something, especially after a week where Iowa and Iowa State fans were at each other's throats and continue to be, even though it's Thursday and the game was played last Saturday, nothing unites Hawkeyes and Cyclones like the Nebraska Cornhuskers. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach us here at Mulligan's. It's been very active so far today. I have no faith in Chicago pulling out anything other than a split in this series, which would mean, at best, 4 days from now, the Cubs are still going to be 3 games behind the Cardinals. And I have no idea what that means with regard to the Brewers, because they hang on to beat the Padres today. They have the most favorable schedule of the 3 teams in the NL Central remaining. They've got 3 at home beginning tomorrow with the Pirates, and then they end the season with 6 games on the road. But those road games are 3 games at Cincinnati and 3 games at Colorado. So the Brewers finish up with the dregs of the National League. Meanwhile, the Cubs and Cardinals are throwing punches at one another, and then in between they get to take a timeout. Cubs take on the Pirates at PNC Park, and the Cardinals travel to Arizona to face the Diamondbacks. Arizona has a little bit of a pulse, but let's face it, 7 of the final 10 games on the schedule for the Cubs and Cardinals, head-to-head. 4 at Wrigley, 3 at Busch Stadium, and if the Cubs can't do anything in the next 4 games, I'll tell you right now, the last 3 at Busch Stadium aren't going to matter.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that for both teams, they're at sort of a crossroads. The Cubs, it seems like right now they're fighting for their playoff lives, but who's going to be their manager next season? What are things going to look like next season? And for the Cardinals, they go back on the road to the House of Horrors, where they have struggled mightily, and they have this 3-game lead. and they have not made the playoffs in 3 years. And they have a chance to right some wrongs, but also I don't think a lot of Cardinal fans are all that confident about their ability to go into Wrigley Field and win games. They just have not done it the past three seasons. So I think for one of these teams, unless it's a split, whoever if one team wins this series, the other fan base is going to feel really, really bad about where they are at this point in the season. And they're going to be at that point fighting for their playoff lives because, as you mentioned, it doesn't look like the Brewers are going to be losing too many games down the stretch.
319-366-1600 if you would like to join us on the Hurtin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Yes, Cyclone Tim pointing out his powerful Reds ruining the season for the Chicago Cubs. Ugly game last night. Ugly loss at Wrigley Field. John Lester didn't pitch poorly, and Lester has struggled in recent starts. Low-scoring affair. Game is tied up, winds up going two extra innings, and the Reds pull it off with James Norwood pitching in a high-leverage situation. Craig Kimbrell still coming back from injury. Brandon Kinsler still on the sideline as well. It's hard to lay a loss like last night at the feet of Joe Maddon because, once again, you come off a series where the Cubs absolutely pound the Pirates, put up a record number of runs in the modern era. They come back the next night, score, eight runs, something like that, and then all of a sudden the bats go silent in the final handful of games against the Reds. Can't score any runs, can't get guys on base. You're not going to win many games like that. And, again, I've said all along, this reminds me a lot of 2007-2008, where the Cubs do get into the postseason, and then they quickly get swept out. Or like last season where it comes down to game 163, who's going to win the division, who gets the wild card. Cubs wind up losing to Milwaukee. They go into the wild card game, and their season is over. It's tough right now. It's tough to watch this team. I was on the couch last night. I'm invested. I've tried to walk away probably at least half a dozen times, and yet there I was, watching it to the bitter end last night. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Adam in Cedar Rapids wants to talk Cubs cards. Adam, what's up?
Good afternoon, guys. First of all, love the show. Been loving it since Bravo Camp. Huge A's fan. I'm feeling the pain of a Cubs fan right now. It is super hard to watch when your offense isn't producing. You don't have the horses out there doing it. And then when Yu Darvish throws a game like he did the other night versus the Reds and you can't even score enough runs to give him support after striking out all those idiots. Anyway, love the show, guys. Have a great night. Alex Kuhn, you are the man. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Do you know Adam?
I do not. Thank you, Adam.
Well, you should send him
appreciate it.
Send him a check.
I didn't. I don't have him on payroll, I swear. But I think that the theme of the offense is true for both teams, and it has been all year, and that's what makes it frustrating to watch. It's hard to watch a team that scores 10 runs two nights and then zero runs the next two nights. That's exactly what we've seen from both of these teams. The Cardinals' offense has struggled the entire year. Their pitching has bailed them out recently, and I think they're very confident every time that they have they have Jack Flaherty on the mound, which they do tonight. But you just never know what you're going to get from their offense. I think the Cubs, that's been a theme for them all season. It's really been a theme for both teams the past two or three seasons. So I don't know what to make of this series other than it's going to look really, really bad if the Cardinals blow this three-game lead to this Cubs team who is absolutely the walking wounded right now. Without Anthony Rizzo, without Javier Baez, I know it's at Wrigley Field, but if the Cubs are able to come back, or if they get a 3-4 or sweep this series, there's going to be a lot of problems in St. Louis with John Mozeliak and Mike Schilt, and things could get very ugly if that were to happen.
There are problems, I think, for both of these teams this offseason, regardless of how things play
out here.
But this really seems to me to be sort of Joe Maddon's last stand here, that if they can't muster up 3-4 against St. Louis, that if it's a split and then you go into the final six games of the season and you're three games back, then what does the wild card race look like? Because you've also got the Nationals and other teams at play there. The assumption is that somebody from the NL Central is probably going to be on the outside looking in when everything is said and done, just given the fact that a Cubs-Cardinals going head-to-head in 7 of 10, every time the Cardinals win, the Cubs not only lose ground in the division race, but then they would lose ground in the wild card race as well, depending on how all of the other teams in the mix wind up playing. This is very similar to what the Big Ten has always wanted that Black Friday showdown to be between Iowa right. and Nebraska, where yearly this is going to determine who goes to Indianapolis to play for the Big Ten West title, and seldom has that actually been the case. We've always been let down because one team in the series, be it Iowa or Nebraska, isn't quite there. This, you would think, would be a good thing for baseball, at least people who follow the sport, not necessarily Cubs fans and Cardinals fans specifically, but it's good to have a long-standing, healthy rivalry determine the outcome of the season. And I feel that if you go back to 2015, when Kyle Schwarber hit the home run against the Cardinals, you know which one I'm talking about, the one that winds up on top of the scoreboard, that seemed to be the moment that signaled the Cubs were on the scene and that the worm had turned. And I just have a feeling that something's going to happen in this four-game series at Wrigley Field, which again starts tonight with Kyle Hendricks on the mound for Chicago and Jack Flaherty pitching for the Cardinals, that something's going to happen over the course of the next 4 days that's going to allow St. Louis to say, we're back in charge.
Back in charge or sort of back in the mix?
Well, let's put it, okay, that's a bad way to put it. Something's going to happen in the next 4 days that will allow St. Louis to bring everything full circle. That the Schwarber home run served notice to the Cardinals, and the Cubs had their run, and something is going to happen in the next 4 days where everybody watching, every viewer looks and realizes the run is pretty much over. Now, they've still got talented players on the roster, don't get me wrong, but this is going to be, and I think everybody understands this, a critical offseason for Chicago. You've got Joe Maddon, who's not under contract at the end of the season. I don't expect him to be back. You've got Theo Epstein. I'm 42-22. I'm sorry for dooming and glooming here, but that's just what my gut tells me. After watching a pretty lifeless performance last night against the Cincinnati Reds, if Wilson Contreras doesn't hit a solo home run in, I think it was the seventh inning, they go limping out of that series. They at least got it to extra innings before they turned things over to a weak-kneed bullpen.
That's going to be the key for the Cardinals. They have to, if they need to keep games close and make it into a bullpen contest, because I think they have the big advantage there.
They are expecting, by the way, odds makers are, a low-scoring game tonight with the aces of these respective staffs on the mound.
The Cardinals have been awful against Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks has owned the Cardinals, and Jack Flaherty has been pitching as well as anybody in Major League Baseball.
Flaherty has the better numbers on the season. He's 10-8 with a 3.05 ERA coming into the night. Hendricks 11-9. With a 3.26 ERA, but as Alex has alluded to, Hendricks, three of those wins, I believe, have come against the Cardinals, and he has I believe it was a .39 earned run average against the Cardinals this year. He's been very, very good. We've got Tom on the line. He wants to talk NL Central. Tom, the floor is yours. What's up?
Hey, fellas. It's exciting around these parts with three teams from the Midwest, you know, in the running for the NL Central title. We can always, I guess, as Cub fans, hold out hope that they can pull out, you know, a substantial number of wins against the Cardinals, although they've not done anything recently to indicate they would. But I think ultimately it's not going to matter. I mean, the team, I think, that has flown under the radar all season long is like the Braves. the Braves, and then obviously the Dodgers. So I don't think any of the NL Central teams, you know, are going to do anything come time for the playoffs.
Tom, I appreciate the phone call, and you were talking about this the other day. I can't remember whether it was on the air or whether we were off the air, but and maybe it wasn't you, but you were involved in the conversation where somebody said they compared the Cardinals this year to, was it the Giants a couple years ago, where they just got into the postseason and things seemed to click for them. That's what, with the Cubs, that's the problem here, is it feels like even if they got into the postseason, and even if they somehow wrestled the Central away from the Cardinals, it feels like there's no way that they could beat a team like the Nationals. There's no way that they could beat a team like the Dodgers. Where in 2016, you put them up against the Dodgers, you said they've got more than a fighter's chance there. This feels like, well, yeah, they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, 2016, they were the favorite. In 2015, the way that they were playing down the stretch, they were the hottest team in baseball, and you thought that they had a chance against anybody that they played. Whether it's the Cardinals or the Brewers, that's a great question. Which team of these three would you most think has a chance to be that team that just got in and things started clicking for them?
Man, if the Brewers,
that's what I'm saying.
If the Brewers had Christian Yelich right. healthy, I know what my answer would be, because they also, in theory, have the, I think they had won 10 of their last 11 going into last night when the Padres got him. But you look at the 10 remaining games, and they are underway right now against San Diego. But after today, three against Pittsburgh, three on the road against Cincinnati, three on the road against Colorado, that's a schedule that sets up for a team to have quite a bit of momentum going into the postseason, except they don't have Christian Yelich. So I can't give them my vote. Out of the three teams, I'd have to pick the Cardinals right now. Marcelo Ozuna, the bat is coming around. Paul Goldschmidt has, for the better part of the second half, been hitting the way that you expect Paul Goldschmidt to. Jack Flaherty's found himself. They've got a legitimate ace there. The bullpen has been fairly solid for the Cardinals. Carlos Martinez closing out games. By the way, more bad news for the Cubs, and this coming 7011 pointing this out on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, and I just saw that a number of beat writers are confirming it. The Cubs have scratched Cole Hamels for tomorrow. He's got left shoulder fatigue, and it will be right-hander Alec Mills starting in his place. So you go from Hendricks today to Alec Mills tomorrow, and then if I recall correctly, it's Jose Quintana and Yu Darvish to finish up.
Darvish is the last. Darvish against you got Michaelis.
You got solid bookends in Hendricks and Darvish, and in between, you got a wind. And now, and Hamels has not been solid recently either.
So you got
to win tonight if you're the Cubs. You got to win tonight if you're the Cubs, in my opinion.
I think they have to win tomorrow too.
Well, no, and I'm saying they're not going to win tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's Waka against Quintana, and then I guess that would be Mills and Mills and Dakota Hudson on Saturday.
Hamels was supposed to pitch on Saturday.
Right.
My bad. So there's the rotation. Hamels is out on Saturday rather than Friday.
Yeah,
my bad.
Of these three teams, I guess I'd say the Brewers, because there's that extra motivation to get it done for Christian Yelich after he goes down with that injury. I was in St. Louis a few weeks back after a Cardinals game at a local establishment that had the Papa Shot, where the basketball mini game and arcade game, I should say. And the guy in front of me was insistent. I didn't know the guy, but he's insistent. The Cardinals are going to win the World Series this year. And I looked at it, and I'm like, no. I don't see it. Now, am I completely ruling out 100% that if they get in, they can make a run? No. But I just feel like that the magic has to be proven to return before we're going to believe it. And I think a lot of Cardinals fans are waiting for this series to see, can they get it done on the road? Can they beat the Cubs at Wrigley? And if they can, maybe there's some belief back. But still, with as inconsistent as that offense is, I'm looking at that National League, and I guess out of the three, maybe you can make the argument that they're the most likely to go on a run, but I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
Milwaukee has tacked on a run in the third inning, so they are now ahead of San Diego 2-0. Again, coming into today, you have the Brewers and Cubs in a tie for the second wild card spot. They would be the road team if the season ended today. So if the Brewers win, they will wrap that game up presumably before 6:15 tonight. So at least at the start of game one between the Cubs and Cardinals, the Cubs would be the team on the outside looking in at this point. Again, for the first time in a long time, the injuries are just, they're taking their toll on this team. Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez. Now you got Cole Hamels sidelined, even though he hasn't exactly been Cy Young caliber for the better part of the second half of the season. Craig Kimbrell, I know they were talking about activating him. They thought maybe he would be back in time for the St. Louis series. I haven't seen anything on that, not necessarily saying that that won't happen. But also Craig Kimbrell hasn't been terribly sharp throughout the course of his tenure with the Cubs after signing after the All-Star break. So it just feels like a crapshoot right now. And, yeah, you know, the text line is saying doom and gloom. Sometimes it is doom and gloom. I call it like I see it, and I do that elsewhere too, and it's gotten some feathers riled up on Twitter earlier today. You can give me a follow at Todd Brommelkamp, at KGYM Radio, at Alex Kuhn 523. Again, we will take a quick timeout at 4:30 tonight to switch our gears to Iowa State and ULM. Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star set to join us to preview Saturday's game at Jack Trice Stadium. Before we do that, though, Kyle Mann, our producer, is back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids in the KGYM studios. He's going to bring you a big board update three times a day on the program. We bring you up to speed on what's going on around the sports scene in eastern Iowa and across the state as it pertains to interests in the area. Big board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check their new location out on 420th Street in Iowa City, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station. They also have a showroom on South Gilbert Street, Answers by Alexander. Here's Kyle.
Iowa's Alaric Jackson entered this season with some hype as a possible first-round draft pick, but that all got a little murky when he went down with a knee injury early in week one. He avoided catastrophe, however, and there was optimism he may be able to return as soon as Middle Tennessee. And offensive line coach Tim Polasek made it sound as if that's still a possibility. He told Chad Lysico and Mark Emmert yesterday that Jackson's still dealing with a bone bruise, but they did receive some good news on his prognosis earlier this week. Iowa's on a bye this week, which will help with Jackson's recovery, but Iowa State will host Louisiana Monroe this Saturday, and if you are planning on going, there's a chance you need to tweak your tailgating plans. Rainfall already this week and more expected on game day has caused the school to announce the closure of all grass tailgating lots. Details of what you should do instead are available at cyclones.com. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi this weekend, and he put himself in very good position with a 67 in his first round earlier today. That puts him in a tie for fifth at 5 under par. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Royals on 107.5 FM The North Gym with Kyle Gibson on the mound for the Twins against former Cub Mike Montgomery for the Royals. And over on the South and Main Gyms, we'll also have the Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football. Former Iowa safety Amani Hooker will be number 37 for the Titans, and you will be seeing him on the field in certain nickel packages.
All right, Kyle, thank you very much. We appreciate being able to hear from you again today. We've got a great program the rest of the way over the next 2.5 hours. 5:30 tonight, Rob Raines joining us to give us the insight on the NL Central leading St. Louis Cardinals. Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com in Chicago with us at 6:05. That's going to be just ahead of first pitch tonight at Wrigley Field. We'll also hear from Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker and special teams coordinator LeVar Woods, as well as the reason Scott Van Pelt dragged a Nebraska fan earlier today on social media. That one is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Lots more to get to. Join us at Mulligan's. It is happy hour, $2 tall boys and half-price domestic bottles and well drinks from now until 6 o'clock, and then half-price wings from 6 until close. 1060 Old Marion Road. Buddy Lee is here getting you registered for tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders this upcoming season. They are at home on Saturday night. They've got a preseason game against one of their big rivals, the Waterloo Blackhawks. Tickets on sale now. You can get them at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena, or you could use these vouchers, which, again, are flex vouchers. So the tickets we're giving away tonight, you can use them for any Rough Riders game this season. When we come back to Mulligan's, we're going to get the lowdown on Iowa State's opponent this weekend, the University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. Adam Hunsaker of the Monroe News Star joins us next. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM.
Hurt Teen and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
It all comes down to 10 games, 7 if we want to be more specific. The Cubs and Cardinals meet for 4 in Chicago beginning tonight before closing out the regular season with 3 games at Busch Stadium. In between, Chicago travels to Pittsburgh for 3 while the Cardinals head to Arizona. What's at stake over the next 10 games? Everything. After last night's loss to the Reds, the Cubs are now 3 games back of the Cardinals for the NL Central crown. So too are the Brewers, for what it's worth. Milwaukee and Chicago were tied for the second NL wildcard entering play Thursday. Every loss to the Cardinals down the stretch not only puts the division further out of reach, but it deals the team a blow in the wildcard standings as well, especially since the Brewers closed the season with the Pirates, Reds, and Rockies. Tonight's series opener features Kyle Hendricks, who's owned the Cardinals in 2019, against St. Louis ace Jack Flaherty. Buckle up, this will be the biggest series of the season. If the Cubs don't take at least 3 of 4 from the Redbirds, that last series in St. Louis likely won't matter.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off, or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a Deer. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow.
I think you should leave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
4:33, welcome back in. It is a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, coming your way from Mulligan's Pub on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids, 1060 Old Marion Road. Stop on in, as we mentioned. Happy hour underway until 6 o'clock tonight. $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks. Wings are half-price from 6 until close. Thursday night football on tap tonight, Tennessee at Jacksonville. You got Cubs-Cardinals set to get underway at 6:15 tonight as well. Plenty of reasons for you to join us here at Mulligan's. A big thank you to Linder Tire, LinderTire.com, the sponsor for the road trip. They've got some special online-only savings that you can learn about at their website right now. Turn around and put those to good use at one of their 3 Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. We'll get back into baseball coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Rob Raines joining us at 5:30. But right now, let's turn our attention to Iowa State. The Cyclones have a big game on tap this weekend as they close out non-conference play with ULM, the University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. Joining us now to give us a preview of what to expect this weekend, Adam Hunsaker, who covers the Warhawks for the Monroe News Star. Adam, we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us here in Eastern Iowa tonight. What type of team is ULM bringing north to the state of Iowa? This is an intriguing squad to me. Last I saw of them, they were playing Florida State extremely close in Tallahassee.
Well, first, it's good to be talking with you up there in Iowa. But as far as this ULM team goes, I mean, this is a pretty veteran group. I mean, you'll see some underclassmen in the lineup, but it's a lot of juniors and seniors. And you know, ULM's the type of job at the group of five level when you can have that experience. That's when you tend to have some of your better teams. And
you know, through two games, it could be that way. This was a group that was bowl eligible last year, but because of the abundance of 66 teams, they ended up being one of the four that sat at home. So kind of look at it for ULM, it all starts offensively with their quarterback. I mean, Caleb Evans is a senior. He's been a four-year starter, and he's a guy that really has the kind of talent to be the best quarterback in the Sun Belt Conference this year if he can just continue to make good decisions with the football like he's doing, cut down on the turnovers, and he's also a threat to, you know, get out of the pocket and run.
When you look at Josh Johnson, I think averaging over something like 8 yards per carry, what sticks out about the Opelika native at running back?
Well, Josh is an interesting story because that was a kid that they found late last summer in the Mississippi JUCO system. He was at Cahoma Community College, and they were able to get him in the week fall camp started last year. But you know at that point he was learning a new system. The conditioning was an issue, so he wasn't really able to contribute as much last year. But you know, 1 year in the program, and here he is. And you know, he's a kid that's always had the talent. You know, he was originally going to sign with Ole Miss. Coming out of junior college until that fell through, and he was just kind of there, and you know, they were able to find the diamond in the rough, and he's, you know, somebody that, you know, two games, he's been over 100 yards, and he's been the kind of back that they haven't, that this coaching staff hasn't had in the 4 years that they've been here.
Adam Hunsucker joining us from the Monroe News Star in Louisiana, covers the ULM Warhawks. They'll be taking on Iowa State Saturday. You can hear that game right here on 1600 AM. And the offensive line, what type of offensive line does ULM have going up against a defensive line that is pretty stout, including a guy in Ray Lima who most people can look at and tell you that's going to be an NFL player someday?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing of just, you know, looking at Iowa State's defense that impressed ULM head coach Matt Viatore and the entire staff is just how solid they are. I mean, that they all 11 of them can tackle. They're always in the right positions, and that's why that's why they play so well. But looking at ULM's offensive line, it's another veteran group, and that's something if you have it as a G5 school, then you know that's a luxury most of your peers do not have. They they've got four starters back on the offensive line. Three of them are seniors. Played a lot of football. This was one of the most experienced offensive lines in the country. Would have been even more so, but they ended up losing having a starter leave the program before the start of the year. Beginning of the year, he would have been a senior as well. So it's a group that's played a lot of football. They play well together, and I think looking at Iowa State, this is going to be a bigger challenge for those guys up front than Florida State was. In Florida State, they're kind of going through a little transitional phase with Willie Taggart, not quite as talented along the line of scrimmage as they've once been. But, you know, like you said, this Iowa bunch is pretty stout.
When you look at this Iowa State defense, how much talk has there been about the unique front that they have, the unique alignment that they have? Because it doesn't matter who Iowa State faces, there's one thing that they cause to whoever they face, and that's confusion.
Yeah, and that's been the biggest thing this week is finding somebody that can simulate Greg Eisworth in practice and the things that he does, because it's not something you see every day. I mean, it's it's funny because Matt Viator, ULM's head coach, and John Haycock, the defensive coordinator at Iowa State, they played each other before. Going all the way back to when Viator was the offensive coordinator at McNeese State, they played They played Youngstown State when Haycock was the head coach in 2002 and 2004. So some of the stuff's familiar, but what they do with those defensive backs is completely new. I mean, it's kind of reminiscent. I think the comparison made was what Rocky Long's done for years at New Mexico and San Diego State, where you've got that guy, you know, Iowa State calls him the star, where he's, you know, about at 8 yards between the linebackers and the rest of the secondary. And you're just going to have a hard time blocking that guy because he's just going to get downhill. So It's going to be kind of incumbent upon the ball carriers. They're just going to have to try to make him miss, which is easier said than done because he's such a good tackler.
ULM, one of the better teams in the Sun Belt as far as turnover margin goes. We saw turnovers play a huge role in Iowa State's game against Iowa last weekend. Is that a big part of the game plan this weekend, trying to come in and generate some takeaways?
It is, and that's part of kind of their formula for going, you know, and playing these Power 5 opponents. But it's funny you mention that because Last year, ULM was the worst team in the country in turnover margin, and that was a big thing that they emphasized all year. I mean, when you finish 6-6 and you're minus 12 in the turnover margin, I mean that's kind of eye popping as it is. But you know, you look at the Florida State game, and turnovers is how they got back into it. Corey Strader took an interception, 57 yards for a touchdown. They recovered a fumble and got another pick that led to two more touchdowns. And really, that's what they're trying to do on defense, because as far as personnel goes, obviously they're going to be outmatched, and you know they don't have to dominate the game and shut Iowa State out, but they have to do just enough with negative plays and turnovers, and they're hoping you know that'll give them a chance to be within right there in the fourth quarter.
Now, the word that you mentioned and the word that a lot of people talk about when they mention ULM, experience, how much does it show on the field that these guys have experience and are used to playing together?
I mean, it's big. And it really, you have to go back to December 2015 when Matt Viator got this job. You know, what he inherited was not very good. You know, they had just come off a 2-11 season. That thing had really bottomed out. And he slowly but surely, this staff has, you know, gone around the state, knocking down doors, recruiting both in Louisiana and in the Mississippi JUCOs and through Texas and then Arkansas. And, you know, the fruit of that labor is shown by just the number of guys they have that are juniors and seniors in this program and really making an impact. And you look at some of the venues that they've been. I mean, they've been to Oklahoma. They've been to Auburn. They've been to Florida State. So they've been to Texas A&M. So they're used to going and playing these types of games. And it's, you know, and they don't get bogged down in the matchups or, you know, the money game level. They kind of call them opportunity games. They look forward to, you know, playing these kind of games and get the big time opponent.
What can you tell us about Chase Day? You mentioned earlier that this is a veteran group that's coming north to take on the Cyclones, and it seems like the senior linebacker has really been able to make a name for himself so far this year on defense.
I mean, he really has. He's basically been in the lineup since he was a redshirt freshman. You know, his redshirt freshman year was also the first year this staff was here. He was one of the guys that was here that they could count on, so he got to play. He got to play a whole lot. And really, only some injuries have kept him out of the lineup his whole career. And, you know, it's cliche, but he's kind of that cornerback of the defense. He knows the scheme in and out. He can get everyone lined up. And that's been such a big thing as they've kind of matured and gone on, and he's, you know, really developed into the player they always thought he could be.
What are expectations for this team coming into the year and at this point at 1-1? They play an absolutely brutal non-conference schedule. We mentioned Florida State, now Iowa State. They play Memphis in a couple of weeks. What are good expectations for this team then going into the Sun Belt?
Well, finishing has been the big word, because you go back to the last 2 weeks of the regular season last year. They were at 6-4. And we're two wins away from, you know, being the first ever Sun Belt West champion since the Sun Belt went to a conference championship format. But they dropped those last two games to Arkansas State and then one at home to their big rival, Louisiana Lafayette. That was just a brutal finish. Yeah, you know, you drop those two games, and ultimately that's what keeps you out of the conference championship game and out of a bowl game. So, you know, the expectations this year is they want to get back to where they were, and they want to finish this time and get to a bowl game and make some noise in the Sun Belt.
Adam, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and safe travels, assuming you're heading north with the team this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Adam Hunsucker, who covers ULM for the Monroe News Star. Iowa State, at the moment, a 19-point favorite Saturday, according to our friends in Riverside, Iowa, at the Elite Sportsbook. And there are a lot of people. What's interesting here, because I do read a lot of takes from fans online, I've seen a lot of Iowa State fans saying that there's no way Iowa State covers 19 points, not after the way they played against Iowa. And I'm looking at a team that played Florida State within a point in Tallahassee, and I smell a rat. I smell a trap, and I just think Iowa State has the ability to really, really take care of 19 points against ULM. Now, that being said, I have seen the weather forecast for this weekend, and it does not sound like it's going to be pleasant once again in Ames. So if you get another sloppy weather day, maybe that keeps things a little bit close. But you tell me if I'm wrong or not. I think Iowa State's got the opportunity to put up a comfortable win against ULM.
That's what I was thinking, really. I got in trouble doing that whole transitive property math thing last week with a certain matchup where one team kept it close against another team, and they're about a 19-20-point favorite, and you just can't play this game. Here's the fact of the matter. Iowa State's better than Florida State. Iowa State is a better football team than Florida State in pretty much every aspect.
They're much better at hydrating because they have the great tap water in Ames. That is it's not a dig that I hate having to explain. Somebody out there is not going to get that reference. Florida State, week one.
Yes.
Played poorly, and Willie Taggart, their head coach, cited hydration.
He did.
The reason. And the players said, no, it's because we weren't prepared.
We weren't prepared, and we're not conditioned enough. That's a mess down there.
It's not funny if you have to explain it to people.
In Tallahassee.
I can't imagine there are a whole lot of folks in Iowa who are dialed in on Florida State hydration jokes, but sometimes you just play the hand that you're dealt. 319-366-1600, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. We invite you to join us here at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Happy hour still going strong for another hour and 15 minutes. $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks until 6 o'clock tonight, and then half-price wings take over. Now, there's a guy here in khaki pants and a collared shirt. He's not trying to sell you insurance or anything when he comes up to the table. He does look very professional, very, very office quality tonight. But it is our own Buddy Lee. We're used to seeing him dressed in black and gold from head to toe. But with it being a bye week, he decided the Hawkeye gear was going to be in the closet for this week. So he is here looking extremely professional, and he wants to send you to the Cedar Rapids. Well, he wants to eat some wings with you is what he really wants to do. But he also wants to send you to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders at some point during the 2019-2020 season. We've got vouchers for Green Zone tickets, and we're going to be giving them away here. A couple pairs, actually. A couple sets of four. The only way that you can take them off our hands is to be here when we draw for them toward the end of the show coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Buddy will get you signed up. The wait staff here, waiters, waitresses, will get your orders taken care of, get you all those $2 tall boys and half-price domestic bottles and well drinks until your heart's content or until the clock turns to 6 o'clock. A little bit of NFL news today. I heard Scott and Mark talking about this on the gym class. It's not going to help, but the Miami Dolphins have officially named Josh Rosen as their starter ahead of their Week 3 matchup with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, I think, is a 3-touchdown favorite in that game. And if Miami keeps playing the way that they are, odds makers may as well just take those games off the board because casinos don't like giving away money. And the first two games of the season, Baltimore and New England, when you're playing a team that's actively trying to lose in the National Football League, it is not pretty.
No, it's not. And here, remember prior to the draft when everybody was speculating, and it wasn't speculation, Josh Rosen came out and said, I don't need football. Like, I have things that I can do beyond football. He may want to start considering those things. Think about the situations he has been in the first 2 years of his career. Last year, starting for the Arizona Cardinals. And now this year starting for one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL.
When we come back and update on a story that we have been talking about for the better part of the last 3 days, and we've been talking about it because the University of Iowa put out a news release about the treatment of its band last Saturday in Ames, and the update is probably going to leave you scratching your head. That's all I'll say at this point. 319-366-1600. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. The KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, rolls on from Mulligan's Pub after this.
Right now at Menards, get huge savings throughout the store during the Fall Catalog Sale. Add comfort and style to your home with new carpet from Mohawk. McAllister Plush Carpet or Perfect Style Frise Carpet. Available in two colors each. Are your choice.
So Kyle,
only $119 a square foot. Plus, get free carpet pad with purchase after rebate. Now, during Menards' Fall Catalog Sale.
We'll try
sale prices are good through Saturday, September 21st.
Save big money at Menards.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee. So he went to ZipRecruiter, posted his job, and found the best person for the role in just a few days. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 2 5-1/4 ounce bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with 2 bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $8 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
4:52, we welcome you back in the Todd Brawlkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you today from Mulligan's Pub on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids. It is a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We're here until 7 o'clock tonight. The staff at Mulligan's taking care of you if you walk in the door and join us anytime between now and then. Happy hour running until 6 o'clock tonight. $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, half-price well drinks, and then from 6 until close, half-price wings. We promised you an update about a story that we have spent the better, not necessarily the better part of the last 2-3 days discussing here. But Iowa put out a news release on Monday about a mysterious incident involving its band and Iowa State fans Saturday in Ames. And that seemed to not necessarily set off some fireworks, but it certainly sparked some discussion between the two fan bases that may or may not have escalated the tensions between Iowa and Iowa State coming off a 1-point loss or win, depending on what side of the rivalry you're on. Well, according to the Des Moines Register, Gary Barta says Iowa is no longer investigating the incident. The story available at the Register as well as the Iowa City Press Citizen says that, I'll just read you the quote here. Jamie Pollard and I had a telephone conversation mid-afternoon Monday in which we discussed the general scope of the incident. We agreed together to gather facts. After collecting information Monday and Tuesday, we realized it would be difficult to verify details and elected to focus on moving forward on future events. This could have and should have been handled out of sight, out of mind.
Behind closed doors.
It wasn't. A news release was sent out, and when you send out a news release and then you don't give any details about it, and it looks like somebody's not being transparent, and then you've got one side saying the other side isn't telling the truth, that they were aware of issues. And now, here we are 4 days later, and it's not feasible to determine what actually occurred, according to the verbiage of the article, which is available at the Iowa City Press Citizen's website and presumably then also at the Des Moines Register's website, it's not feasible to determine what actually occurred. So the act was so egregious on Monday that it called for a news release, and on Thursday, it's not feasible to determine what actually occurred.
Todd, I have a really embarrassing story to tell you about myself. Actually, no, I don't want to tell you.
You just...
That's what this is.
You cannot make this stuff up.
That's exactly what this is.
It is making a mountain out of a molehill when nobody even noticed the molehill on the ground in the first place.
If you know that you're not going to be able to say anything or give details about an incident, like, why bring it up in the first place?
This is not going to do much to persuade the Iowa fans out there that think that there is an element of the athletic department that's in over its head, that's swimming in the deep end of the pool when it has pool floaties on its arms. Probably shouldn't be in the deep water. This isn't going to do anything to make that section of the fan base feel any better about the way things are run at Carver Hawkeye Arena. 319-366-1600. Keep the texts coming on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Mulligan's Pub, Old Marion Road, here until 7 o'clock tonight. The KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Buddy Lee getting people signed up for Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's coming up in a jam-packed 5 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Will Kane here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income. Then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee a day costs more than that. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-417-5440. That's 1-800-417-5440. Or go to selectquote.com/will. That's selectquote.com/WILL. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Looking sharp just got easier with 70 to 85% off Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, and more at Macy's Men's Clearance Suiting Event, online only. Have head-to-toe style in a Lauren Ralph Lauren wool suit. Originally $625, now $149.99. Plus shirts, pants, and shoes, now $14.99 to $29.99. And ace the casual look with sport coats from $39.99 to $69.99. It's all at Macy's.com. Savings on regular and original prices. Exclusions apply.
And we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, 1060 Old Marion Road to be exact, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. I've got a moral dilemma here because we only have about 70 seconds. Do I read the text from 0330?
Yes, absolutely.
Or do I not? Because it's not going to be that person that takes the heat for it. It's going to be me the next time that I'm in Iowa City.
Do you want me to read it?
I'm still going to take the heat for it. 0330, why was this Iowa ISU issue handled? Why wasn't this Iowa ISU issue handled quietly like Fran's extension? You guys and gals at home do this way better than I do on times. There are days where I would just like to hook the computer, the text line, up to a headset, and I go on vacation, Alex goes on vacation, and you guys just run things. Keith in Cedar Rapids, you know I'm talking about you. Everybody else out there on the text line, keep them coming today. We got 1 hour down, two to go. The 5 o'clock hour on the way next. Why did Scott Van Pelt drag a Nebraska fan on Twitter today? We'll tell you when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. Yankees right-hander Domingo Germán is now on administrative leave under baseball's domestic violence policy. Herman is being investigated on an undisclosed incident. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports any discipline for Herman could come before the Yankees open the postseason. Week 3 in the NFL kicks off tonight in Jacksonville. The Jaguars hosting the Titans. Jags corner Jalen Ramsey expected to play, but ESPN's Josina Anderson reports Ramsey also expects to be traded over the next few days. The Dolphins will start Josh Rosen at quarterback Sunday against the Cowboys, making the change from Ryan Fitzpatrick. The college football weekend features a great matchup in Athens, third-ranked Georgia and number 7 Notre Dame. Fighting Irish coach Brian Kelly says he's trying to prepare his team for the atmosphere they will face at Sanford Stadium.
If you're distracted for 1 second from the job that you're doing against the top quality football team, you know, that could be the difference in a football game.
Brian Kelly on Golic and Wingo.
Coming up on Friday, live from New York, it's Golic and Wingo. Catch us at the Green Journal, East Meadow, ahead of the Jets Patriots. Plus, it's your last chance to win your way to tailgate with the Golics at Notre Dame when the Irish play USC. Golic and Wingo Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with people and answers you need for your health care needs. Visit careprohealthservices.com.
And did you?
Just can't seem to find the time.
Maybe it's time for a soul clean machine from CarePro.
I think you're right.
And Friday.
Well?
This thing is amazing. So clean, so fresh, and it kills 99.9% of germs and bacteria. Now I'll sleep really well.
So will I.
Sleep even better with your CPAP or BiPAP with a soul clean machine from CarePro. Stop in to purchase one or get more details at carepro.healthservices.com.
Protect your engine with 5 quarts of Castrol Edge full synthetic motor oil and a Wix filter for just $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. You can also earn bonus O-Rewards points on Castrol Edge motor oil products right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
5:02, welcome in. It is hour number 2 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from Mulligan's Pub on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Coming up at 5:30 tonight, Rob Raines of STLSportsPage.com, longtime writer and contributor to various news outlets in St. Louis, set to join the program as we'll take a look at the Cardinals' perspective of this opening four-game series at Wrigley Field tonight between St. Louis and Chicago. Jesse Rogers with us at 6:05 this evening will give us a quick hit from Wrigley Field and let us know the Cubs' perspective on things as Craig Kimbrell is activated off the injured list. The Cubs have their closer back for the St. Louis series and presumably the final 10 games of the regular season. Will it matter? It's our poll question today, KGYMRadio.com. We're asking you how you think things will wind up at the end of this four-game series between the Cubs and the Cardinals. Where will things stand between these two teams? Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Give us a follow on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523, at KGYM Radio. Lots more to get to on the program today, including some audio from Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker, as well as special teams coordinator LeVar Woods. We'll play some of that here in the 5 o'clock hour, some of it in the 6 o'clock hour. Speaking of hours, you've got about an hour to join us at Mulligan's before happy hour comes to an end. $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks from 3 until 6 every day. The happy hour special here at Mulligan's. And then half-price wings tonight from 6 until close. You can enjoy them watching Cubs-Cardinals. You can enjoy them watching Thursday Night Football. That may be the only thing that makes that Jacksonville-Tennessee match palatable tonight. Some habanero raspberry. Buddy always goes for the hot wings. Mild, hot, honey barbecue? Barbecue. Plain barbecue.
Plain barbecue.
Or the Asian style. Okay. They've got, what, ten sauces, something like that. Very good. Half price on Thursdays from 6 until close. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We're getting a lot of texts about the story we referenced at the end of the 4 o'clock hour tonight. Iowa now saying, nothing to see here.
I don't know how to respond to nothing to see here, since there was stuff put in. I mean, they sent it to our inbox.
It was so egregious on Monday that it warranted a news release, and it led a lot of people to say, well, I was in the Iowa State Band in 1995, and this happened, and I was in the Hawkeye Marching Band in 2007, and this happened, and all of a sudden you've got all these stories out there that are going, well, if nothing happened when this, and this occurred, holy cow, somebody must have lost a limb. There was a machete attack or something. I mean, this was bad. And now there's just not enough evidence to corroborate any of these stories. And 4 days later, 4 days of a news cycle that's predominantly been dominated by Iowa and Iowa State fans bickering back and forth, and former band members telling their this one time at band camp horror stories about Iowa and Iowa State. Now there's nothing to see here.
All I know is the response to it is quite alarming, because Iowa and Iowa State fans can't really agree on anything except for this.
97-66, this is another Barta flub. How does he keep his job? Well, he keeps money coming into the university. I said this way back when the $6.5 million settlement went down with Tracy Griesbaum and Jane Meyer. He's good at keeping the good old boys happy, including his pal Bruce Harreld, who's the president of the university. They like one another, to the point when Gary Dolphin was twisting in the wind this past winter, and donors went to Bruce Harreld and said, we're going to pull our money. Bruce Harreld said, I've got Gary Barta's back. That's all you need to know right there. You can put out as many press releases as you want and make as many non-stories a four-day issue as you want. If you've got the university president with your back, you're good to go. 319.
So you just have the eternal answer to that question whenever it's brought up. I think you do.
The answer's not going to change. 319-366-1600. 1093 pointing out Gary Barta did recently get a raise. Look, he works in a different field than I do, and the pay rate is much higher in his field than it. I'm not going to begrudge anybody for working hard and earning an American dollar or a million American dollars as it is. He's a nice guy. I'd sit down and have a beer with him if he were speaking to me. I don't officially know that he's not speaking to me.
You got a feeling?
There are a lot of feelings when I'm around the University of Iowa. I call it like I see it. And I was having this discussion with people on Twitter earlier today because I saw something that was just beyond dumb to me, beyond the pale. And I thought, well, nobody's going to disagree that this is a bad take. And then people are yelling at me for amplifying the bad take or putting it out for other people to see, and they're trying to make it an Iowa-Iowa State thing. And I'm like, no, it's a people who are decent versus people who are reprehensible take. And if you're inclined, you can go find out what I'm talking about on Twitter. I'm not going to drag anybody on Twitter, especially since this is setting us up to talk about Scott Van Pelt dragging a Nebraska fan on Twitter. I said there's nothing like Iowa and Iowa State being brought together than a mutual dislike, mutual hatred of the Nebraska fan base. So here's what happened. Scott Van Pelt has caught on, and to his credit, he said he was a couple days late on the story. But he picked up the story about the fan who was at game day on Saturday with the Venmo. Carson King, I believe, is his name. Carson King. Carson-King-25 is the Venmo account if you would like to continue sending donations to him. Carson King held up the sign that said he needed money for Busch Light. He was kind of joking. He was hoping he'd get maybe 30, 60 bucks from somebody. It's 2019. People like to send random strangers their money on Venmo, no big deal. All of a sudden, he's got a couple $1,000s, and he decides that he's going to donate that couple $1,000s to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. And once that became public, more and more people began to Venmo money to him. And Busch Light picked up on it, and Venmo picked up on it, and both of those companies have agreed that they're going to match whatever it is that he takes in. And the last time I saw Keith Murphy in Des Moines has been sort of keeping track of this, the unofficial tally of the money that's been Venmoed to Carson at this point. I think it was $67,000 or something like that just in donations to him, which means it'll be matched three times over, or twice over, I should say, once by Venmo, once by Busch Light, which is owned by Anheuser-Busch InBev. And Scott Van Pelt picks up on the story. He makes it his one big thing last night on SportsCenter, and it was sort of a big Hawkeye moment on SportsCenter, because in addition to this State of Iowa story, which involves both Iowa and Iowa State, George Kittle was on SportsCenter last night, the former Hawkeye tight end, currently a major star with the San Francisco 49ers. And Scott Van Pelt wanted to, as he, look, he's done such a great job. They let him take over the late SportsCenter. They've reinvented it for the 21st century, because you can't have a show that does sports highlights now.
No, you can't.
Because sports highlights are in my hand on my phone. 30 seconds after they happen, Major League Baseball's putting out a 30-second GIF. And you can get highlights, videos, anywhere, anytime. So SportsCenter says, okay, we've got this immense talent in Scott Van Pelt. Let's completely ruin our radio platform by taking him off the radio platform and putting him in this great seat, the evening sports center. You can talk about gambling. You can have guys on, turn it into a talk show. And he's done that, and it's been amazing. Scott Van Pelt, for those of you who don't know, is a Maryland graduate. Now, he graduated from Maryland when they were in the ACC, but he does have some Big Ten proclivities now that Maryland is in the Big Ten. So there's a lot of love for the Big Ten with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter. He's got George Kittle on last night, and this is the setup to him absolutely dragging a Nebraska fan on Twitter earlier today. For the young kids out there, I hope I'm using that term properly, drag. But here's George Kittle last night on SportsCenter, and this is what sets up Scott Van Pelt absolutely pummeling a Cornhusker fan earlier today.
Are you ready for some nonsense? All right. You're the best Iowa tight end in the NFL, obviously. Who's the second best Iowa tight end in the NFL?
You're going to make me choose between my guys?
Yep.
I'm going to take TJ Fant.
That's not how it works. you can't create a superhero mold of the guys. You can't go that route.
Yeah, I mean, I just did, so it works for me, man.
We have a hostile hostile interview subject who will not answer the question. Let the record show. I get it. You wouldn't choose.
Hey, SVP, man, yeah. I was at 5 years with Kirk Ferentz. I know how to do interviews, baby.
Okay, fair enough. I bet you will answer this question. Who has the worst fan base in the Big Ten? The worst, the absolute worst fan base. You despise them.
Wow. I mean, my least favorite team in the Big Ten is Nebraska. So
I understand.
That's, I really don't like them. I really don't like Nebraska.
All right.
Okay. So, innocent, fun. I wanted to make sure that we got the Kirk Ferentz stuff in there as well, because that certainly
classic.
That gives anybody that has covered the program a laugh, because they drain all personality out of these guys until they get to the NFL, and then you get to see George Kittle, and you're like, man, we would have loved to have had that version of George Kittle to talk to for 3 or 4 years. So it's out there on Twitter, and a Nebraska fan tweets at SVP and George Kittle, "Let Nebraska win more games, then it will be a rivalry." Oh, you mean like all-time wins favor Nebraska 29-17? Dude is a moron. That's the Nebraska fan firing a salvo at George Kittle. And off the top rope, Randy Savage style, the macho man coming in, Scott Van Pelt. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at NotTheFakeSVP. Buddy, I have no dog in the fight, but I just looked it up, and since 2000, Nebraska has won four, and they meaning Iowa, have won five. If you want to talk about being a moron, keep sticking your chest out about games that were played in the early 1900s. You dominated them. Thumbs up emoji. Scott Van Pelt committing public murder of a Nebraska Cornhusker fan earlier today on Twitter with a minor assist from former Hawkeye tight end George Kittle. 319-366-1600. How do you log off and walk away from Twitter if you're that guy, right?
It's a mic drop moment for those two.
Of course, he's probably hanging out at the area tavern in Kearney at the Chicken Coop or Cunningham's Journal telling all his buddies, hey,
Scott
I got a tweet
Pelt.
From Scott Van Pelt.
He replied to me.
It's the biggest thing that guy has had happen to him since he earned his varsity letter back in probably the late 90s. 366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the northeast side of Cedar Rapids. Somebody on Twitter is trying to convince me that this is the only way that Gary Barta could have handled
the
situation.
How? And what is the justification?
And that he handled it correctly.
This is the first person I have ever heard say that.
What if I told you this was about the only way Gary Barta could have handled it? In fact, he pretty much handled it perfectly. Would you be shocked? Because
yeah.
He did, and I am. How is putting
show
something...
Show your work.
Show your work.
Please
on this
show
one.
Your work.
Captain Kirk, and I don't think it's James Tiberius Kirk on Twitter there. The only way... About the only way... Well, yeah, one of the other ways is to not make something public and to handle it behind the scenes. And again, this is something that on Monday, I spent the better part of 20 minutes sending texts and making some phone calls. And what did you hear? What's out there? Is there anything on the message boards? Because I don't necessarily populate the message boards. Somebody posted a picture of something from a message board earlier today, and it led me down a path that maybe I shouldn't have gone, but I have no regrets. Nobody knew anything about anything. There wasn't a 20-page thread on Hawkeye Nation or Hawkeye Report about an incident involving the band. So
there was no viral video.
Exactly.
There was nothing.
None of this should have even seen the light of day. And if you handle it behind closed doors, maybe a handful of administrators even know something was looked into, because nothing came of it. As you said, there's no smoking gun out there. Now, I suppose if they looked into this and there was something there, then they have something to handle. But the problem is you let everybody know. It's kind of like, I guess, if you had a 5-star restaurant and you told everybody that the health inspector was making an unscheduled visit to your restaurant on a Wednesday night, why would you let everybody know that? And then after the fact, you go, well, he didn't find anything.
This reminds me of the time where we were pulling up to a fast food restaurant. My mom and my dad were in the car, and my dad looks at the window of the fast food restaurant, and they had the failed inspection grade there, and my dad just pointed it out right before we were eating, and my mom's like, why did you tell me this?
C's get degrees. Hey, if the food is good enough. 319-366-1600. Yeah, I'm going to have to ask somebody to show their work on that one, because this stuff happens all the time. I wager to say more often than we even know about, because when things are handled privately, behind the scenes, when it's a minor issue, you don't need to know about it. And now, what did this do? For 4 days, it basically kept the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry alive.
It was a national...
It became a national story. ESPN was running it at the bottom. That does no good for Iowa State. It makes Iowa State look bad to a national audience. And this is after basking in the glow of having game day there on Saturday. And you have a one-point loss, which is the worst possible way to lose. I think you'd rather lose by 40 points than by 1 point, because at 40 points, sometimes you eventually walk away. 1 point stings. And so you have this 1-point loss to a bitter rival, And everybody just wants to put it in the rearview mirror. And then on Monday, no, our band was treated so poorly that we're investigating it. And then 4 days later, well, there's no conclusive evidence here. But Jamie Pollard and I had a really good phone call. And Iowa State on earlier this week unveils these renderings. Iowa State's trying to have a moment here. The Cyclones are trying to have a moment. And I don't think that. I've got a couple people on the text line are saying that that was to take some of the air out of Iowa State's balloon. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think the department is that forward-thinking enough to do that. And I feel bad for the people whose names are attached to some of these releases because I don't know whether they... It's their job to put the stuff out there, whether or not... And then they have to carry the water for the department, and they've got to come back and talk to people who are talking, we don't like the way that you're talking about this, or we want you to have the full story. Well, give everybody the full story then. Put it out there. Instead of making it look like there's a lack of transparency, and then 4 days later, there's nothing to even lack transparency over because nobody can get a definitive answer about what happened. It really is a shame. It is. 319-366-1600. And I think we can finally move on and put this behind us. But unfortunately, the damage has kind of been done.
It has. And there's not going to be any clarity to this. We're never going to hear what exactly happened. So all I can say is this is the second most strange news release that I've ever seen. The second. So
did the first one come from Gary Barta?
No. You want to hear what the first one was? I was at Ball State University my freshman year. I think everybody will enjoy this one.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Yes. Well, we got a news release from, you know how they have the hawk alert where maybe there's a emergency on campus.
We didn't have that when I was in school. We had Western Union Telegraph.
Well, we had that at Ball State my freshman year.
We barely had cell phones, Alex. I'm not kidding you. We barely had cell phones when I was in college.
We got one of those alert emails that said that somebody was driving around on campus slapping butts. I kid you not. And it became it caused this firestorm of people. There was this Facebook group called the Ball State Butt Slapper, and he became this legend for years and years.
Get rid of the Cardinal. That could be the new mascot.
Exactly.
And
we're like, why did you just send us an alert where you usually hear about an armed robbery or, like, God forbid, a shooter on campus, something horrible like that? No. It was a guy driving around on campus on a bike. Slapping butts.
Well, I saw something earlier today. Is there a story here in Cedar Rapids about somebody riding around naked on a bicycle? I don't know whether that's on par or not. I'll have to see if I can locate that story or not. But never in a million years would I have expected the Ball State butt slapper to come up on a Friday edition of the program.
It's the only thing that compares to this release.
So if I Google that right
now. Oh, yeah. I bet I can find it for you.
Did David Letterman ever pick up on that? That sounds like something that would have made its way onto Letterman's show.
I bet he did. I never actually looked that up, but...
I think he would have still been on the air while you were at Ball State.
He was.
The most famous Ball State alum, for those of you who do not know. David Letterman. And we did 5786 texting the story that I was referring to. I knew I wasn't making it up. A story about somebody riding around naked on a bicycle near Cedar Lake, according to KCRG.com. It's a public service announcement time. Don't ride around naked on a bicycle. And if you're in Muncie, Indiana, don't ride around slapping people on the butt. 319-366-1600. Police investigate reports of naked bicyclist near Cedar Lake. Again, this is from our friends at KCRG, and I feel now that it's time for a public service announcement, so I will read the story. Cedar Rapids police said they've received 3 calls about a man riding a bike naked near Cedar Lake since the beginning of September.
3 calls.
It's September 19th. Right now, so since the beginning of September, just before 6:10 a.m. Thursday, police said they got a report of a naked man on a bike on the trail near Cedar Lake. Officials could not find the individual. They've also received reports September 3rd and September 12th. Authorities don't believe the person is approaching or trying to talk to anyone. The police department has increased its patrol around Cedar Lake. Man, people. And thank you to the person on the text line who is informing us of the day of the week and telling us to move on from a story that has been furthered by further reporting. See, I don't want to explain how the world works to people who clearly have things figured out better than I do, but we're still talking about this because there's a new development in the story. If somebody gets murdered on a Monday and you find the killer on a Friday, is the news not supposed to mention the killer got caught on Friday because they talked about it on Monday? Again, if we could just hook the text line up for 3 hours, figure out a way, there's computer programs that read voices, right? Read text to voice.
We just have like the
plug
Siri
it right
voice.
In, and there you go. Just the gym class goes right into the Todd Rommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. It would get Rommelkamp right. It would get Kuhn wrong.
Yeah, it always.
That's
it
the
always
way the text to voice or voice to text always does.
And Kyle has found the Deadspin article from 2010 about the curious case of the Ball State butt slapper.
This is all various. This is, and I don't want to make light of this because in the Me Too era, I mean, if something like that happened nowadays, you wouldn't have, you know, haha, funny coverage of it.
Maybe.
An alert.
Half of it would be serious, half of it would
an
be
an alert.
Ha-ha
You'd be like, okay, what's going on? Yeah, we need to know about why is campus on lockdown right now. Somebody's riding around slapping butts. Did they ever catch him?
I don't think they ever caught him.
When did this happen?
This was in April. This was the best.
And then when did you transfer?
Hold
on. No. I'm doing some
the
detective
next year.
Work. Okay. And after you transferred, after you left Muncie, Indiana, has anybody ever been slapped on the butt again?
That I don't know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've solved the case. 319-366-1600. Rachel, thank you for your texts and everybody else on the text line as well. Let's check in with Kyle back on the southwest side before we get Rob Raines to join us on the program and explain how the Cardinals are going to derail the Cubs' entire season over the next 4 days. Rob, who covers the Cardinals for StLouisSportsPage.com. Kyle's got a big board update for you, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can check them out two ways. One, in person at their location on 420th Street, but you can also visit their interior design showroom. That's located on South Gilbert Street, also in Iowa City. Kyle, what's up?
Iowa's Alaric Jackson entered the season with some hype as a possible first-round draft pick, but all that got a little murky when he went down with a knee injury early in week one. He did avoid catastrophe, however, and there was optimism he may be able to return as soon as the Middle Tennessee State game, and offensive line coach Tim Polasek made it sound as if that's still a possibility. He told Chad Lystico and Mark Emmert that Jackson's still dealing with a bone bruise, but they received some good news on his prognosis earlier this week. Iowa's on a bye this week, which will help Jackson's recovery, but Iowa State will host Louisiana Monroe this Saturday, and if you were planning on going, there's a chance you need to tweak your tailgating plans. Rainfall already fallen this week, and more expected on game day has caused the school to announce the closure of all grass tailgating lots. Details of what you should do instead are available at Cyclones.com. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson's at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi this weekend, and he put himself in very good position with a 67 in his first round earlier today, putting him in a tie for fifth at 5-under par. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Royals on 107.5 FM The North Gym with Kyle Gibson on the mound for the Twins against former Cub Mike Montgomery for the Royals. Over on the South and Main Gyms, we'll also have the Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football. Former Iowa safety Amani Hooker will be number 37 for the Titans, and you will be seeing him on the field in certain nickel packages.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We appreciate it as always. Kyle sometimes is able to join us here for the road trip. Today he's back in the studios on the southwest side of town. That means Buddy Lee is here with us, getting people signed up for Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets. We've got 8 vouchers, so 2 pairs of 4 vouchers each, so we'll have a couple winners tonight. The only way that you can enjoy these, courtesy of us, is to meet us here at Mulligan's. We're here till 7 o'clock. Buddy's going to get folks signed up, and you can take in the Rough Riders. They are home this weekend, by the way. The exhibition season is underway. Did you hear Smokin' Dave Koken's hot tip on the gym class earlier today?
I did not. I missed that one.
Smokin' Dave Koken says head to Riverside in the Elite Casino and put your money on, I believe it was, the Colorado Avalanche tonight. Against the Dallas Stars, because Dallas is starting an AHL goaltender.
Preseason hockey.
Yep. Hey, Smokin' Dave Koken says preseason is where the money's made.
Preseason hockey is where the money's made.
Hey, I got down. I don't know about you, but I got down. Thank you, Dave Koken. You can hear him every Thursday on the Gym Class with Scott and Mark. They're brought to you by Third Base Brewery. We need to take a quick timeout when we return here to the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Cubs-Cardinals on tap. They're getting underway in about 30 minutes at Wrigley Field. Longtime St. Louis sports writer Rob Raines is set to join us next.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team knocked off Davenport Assumption 17-0 last Thursday night at Brady Street Stadium in Davenport. Quarterback Tyler DuPont threw for 153 yards and ran for 78 more and a touchdown for Xavier. The Class 3A number 2 rated Saints open district play tomorrow by hosting West Delaware at Saints Field, looking for their 30th straight victory. The Xavier volleyball team defeated Western Dubuque on the road Tuesday night, 3-0 to go to 14-1 for the season. Last weekend, the Saints won the North Scott tournament, which pushed them to the number one ranking in Class 4A. Saturday, the Saints play at the Marion tournament. The Xavier boys golf team finished third at the MVC Mississippi Divisional Meet at Thunder Hills on Monday. Matthew Schmidt led the Saints with a 74.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota L-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota L-Series tractors. With a powerful and reliable Kubota diesel engine, two superior transmission options, and optional performance matched implements, including front loader and backhoe, the L2501 can tackle any job. Kubota is a proud sponsor of Iowa State football and the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
5:34, welcome back in. We are at the halfway point of another Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. Don't forget, if you miss anything from today's show, including information about the naked bicyclist, you can always dial up the podcast at KGYMradio.com. Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com in Chicago will join us tonight at 6:05. The Cubs and Cardinals getting ready to renew their rivalry, and they will get to know each other really well over the course of the next 10 games. Four at Wrigley, a three-game road trip for both teams, and then they will close out the regular season with three games in St. Louis. That's 7 of the last 10. Cardinals currently with a 3-game lead on the Cubs and the Brewers in the National League Central. Brewers are winning right now, by the way, 5-1 in the bottom of the 7th inning at Miller Park as they finish up a series with the San Diego Padres. Then it's 3 against Pittsburgh, 3 at Cincinnati, 3 at Colorado. Very favorable if you're the Brewers right now, except you don't have Christian Yelich. I don't know what to make of how things are going to wrap up here. Rob Raines joining us on the program now, longtime beat writer who's covered St. Louis from many angles. You can read him at stlsportspage.com. And, Rob, what do you think is going to happen in the NL Central over these final 10 games?
I'm voting for a three-way tie. We always root for chaos, and it never happens. So maybe this year will be the year it finally does. The Cardinals are obviously in the driver's seat. I mean, you want to get in this series, you know, 3 games up is much better than coming into it 3 games back. And, you know, the fact that the extra game out of that series is in Chicago where the Cardinals are 0-6 this year. I mean, there's just, you know, they've got a lot of things to hope go right. But basically they're going in, they're hoping for a split. You know, I mean, if they can get 2 out of the 4, as long as they don't get, you know, swept, they're still in first place. So, you know, I think that's the way they're looking at it is we want to win as many as we can win. But if they could get 2 of them, then, you know, cut that magic number to 4 with 6 to play, you know, take your chances.
Well, they've got their ace on the mound tonight in Jack Flaherty. What is it that allowed him to turn the corner and pitch the way that he's been pitching here the last couple months of the season?
I think it's command. I think it's being able to throw first pitch strikes. I think it's being able to you know, not walk people, be able to stay in games longer, you know, being more efficient so he doesn't, you know, get to 100 pitches in the 5th inning. So I think that's all of those things. I think it's maturity. I think it's learning, you know, that sometimes, you know, in the first half of the season he was, you know, pitching a good game. He'd have a no-hitter for 4 or 5 innings and get, you know, give up a couple of hits and have to be out of the ballgame, lose the ballgame. So I think he realized that he was, you know, kind of just sometimes 1 or 2 pitches away from really good outings, and his focus, you know, got better as far as, you know, not, you know, giving up and making those mistakes that he was making that were costing him early on in the season.
How much has he and just really the entire pitching staff meant to this winning baseball in the second half?
Well, the last 16 games, the starters' combined ERA is 1.61. So that's one thing that'll show you that they're, you know, winning games because of the pitching. And that's, you know, they've not given up more than 3 runs. None of the starters have given up more than 3 runs in that stretch. So I think that it's been very consistent. You know, they certainly have played better home than on the road. So that's one of the tests here going into Chicago is they have to prove that they can win games on the road. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think it's just, yeah, the starting pitching has been the biggest difference. I think, you know, this is a 500 team at the All-Star break, and now they're, what, 17 over. So that's a pretty big, you know, dramatic upswing in, you know, what, a span of about, what, 70 games or so. So pretty good.
Which starter, other than Jack Flaherty, in this series has the most pressure on them?
Interesting question. I guess it would depend on what's the outcome of the series. You know, if the Cardinals lose tonight, then I think the pressure's on Waka tomorrow because you don't want to be down 0-2. You know, I mean, you want to get that first win. So I think it depends. You know, if Flaherty wins tonight or the Cardinals win when he starts, you know, then I don't think there's as much pressure on Waka. The pressure probably shifts to, you know, Hudson, you know, because he's going to have the next matchup. So the one news, I don't know if you guys covered or not, that has already come out of Chicago pregame is that Cole Hamels has been scratched from the start tomorrow because of shoulder tightness. So Alec Mills is going to start that game tomorrow for the Cubs.
How would you describe this team offensively? I know that there's been some hand-wringing throughout the season. They've been a little bit better, but still that hot and coldness has been there.
The biggest problem has just been their ability to hit with runners in scoring position. I mean, I think they're, what, 3 out of 27 in this series or something like that against the Washington and, you know, and still won 2 of the games. So that was an interesting thing. You know, they've just got, you know, they're getting hits and, you know, they've got a lot of, you know, 10-run games, but then they also get a lot of 1-run games. So, yeah, it's just kind of hot or cold, and you just don't never really know why. The explanation of that is, and the consistency is something that they're still trying to find. And I think, you know, part of the difference would be getting a couple of those hits with a guy on second or a guy on third and just not leaving so many of those guys on the bases. So that's obviously what they're going to try to do tonight. I mean, Hendricks is, you know, has just killed them this year. I mean, it's 1 run in 17 innings or something like that. So, you know, they've got to find a way to get guys on base, and they've got to find a way to get them in. And that's, you know, if they can do that, I mean, I think they have confidence that Flaherty's going to shut the Cubs down, but you know, it could be a 1-0 or 2-1 game. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Rob, how much has getting Yadier Molina meant to this team over the last month or so?
Yeah, and I mean, I think Wieters played really well while he was out, and Kisner had some good moments too. So I don't think we're going to give, you know, it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, the Cardinals have had, you know, better luck with their backup catchers this year than they've ever had. And in the past few years, if they had, you know, lost Yadi for that long a stretch, I think it would have been a lot more disastrous for the club. But still, I think the pitchers love throwing to him. They have confidence in him. They don't, you know, they know what he's going to call the right pitch, and all they have to do is execute that pitch. They don't have to think, hey, is this the right, or, you know, should I really throw this pitch in this situation? They put all that trust in Yadi to know what to do. So, especially with the younger pitchers, especially, you know, like a guy like Hudson, a guy like Flaherty, you know, it takes that doubt away from them, I think. And, you know, I think every pitcher, you know, we've seen in no matter what team, no matter what year, no matter what era, a pitcher who pitches with confidence is much more successful. You know, if a pitcher gets out there and he's kind of second-guessing himself, then he's not going to give his best effort. It's not going to be he's going to do something wrong with that pitch, and the results are probably going to be bad. So I think that's what it does, is it just gives those pitchers that confidence that it takes one thing away that they don't have to worry about.
Has Colton Wong start to put things together offensively this year?
Yeah.
Because it seems like he has been a very big, pleasant surprise for this team with his bat.
But especially the second half of the season. Yeah, he's just been, I think he's a 350 or something like that since the All-Star break. So I think it's one of those things where he kind of figured out what he had to do to be successful. And I think he realized that this is the type of hitter I am, and I do this well, so this is what I should do, rather than try to hit too many home runs or try to do this or try to do that. And I think it also, you know, he's played so well defensively that I think he's kind of eliminated that side of the game from having any worries or doubts about. So that's freed him up to work, in, you know, pretty much entirely on the offensive side. And he's probably right now the MVP of this team, I think.
Paul DeJong has struggled a little bit at the plate. Mike Schilt still sticking with him in the five spot behind Marcelo Ozuna. Do you see him maybe getting going this season against the Cubs?
Yeah. They certainly hope so. You know, I mean, he's got 27 home runs, but he's also, I think he's hitting 211 or whatever since July. So he hasn't had a day off since like July 14th. And I think that's part of the problem, is I think he's just kind of out of gas a little bit. So I kind of thought they might do something different tonight, because he's like 220 or something like that against Hendricks. So I kind of thought maybe that they might try to do something where they play Edmund at short, play Munoz at third, or play Carpenter at third, or something like that. But they didn't. They're using the same guys that they've used for the last, you know, couple of weeks in the same order. So, hopefully, you know, he'll find a way to stick one over the wall or something that will make a difference in the ballgame.
Do you feel that maybe there's an added pressure on this team? They haven't been to the playoffs, I think, in 3 years, and now they're going to a place where they have really struggled. That Wrigley Field has not been a place where they've been able to win very many ball games the past couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think I worry about that as much. I mean, I think it's, you know, the young guys on this club, they don't worry about the history. You know, I mean, they what happened in June is old news to them. You know, a little more what happened a few years ago, or the 3 years that they haven't been in the playoffs. You know, I mean, they know about it because people talk about it, but, you know, Jack Flaherty's not concerned with what happened 3 years ago. Tommy Edman's not concerned with what happened 3 years ago. You know, Dakota Hudson's not worried about what happened 3 years ago. You know, so I just think they've got enough guys that are not part of that history that you know, it looks good on paper and people talk about it, but I don't think it brings any extra pressure on the current guys. I really don't.
Rob Raines with us, covers the Cardinals. You can read his work at stlsportspage.com. I'm glad you mentioned Hudson, because this is a young guy who, coming into the season, they thought would maybe temporarily fill a rotation spot and then wind up in the bullpen. Even after they drafted him, a lot of people thought this guy was going to be a bullpen arm. He's had one of the quietest 13-14 win seasons in MLB this season.
He's at 16 wins, right? Yeah, so
I've got him on my fantasy team. You would think I would know his stats a little better.
Well, it's how quiet it's been, right? I think, you know, because I think, you know, especially the way Flaherty's pitched the second half, you kind of haven't paid any, you know, Hudson's really been an under the radar guy, you know, and he's pitched terrific, you know, all season. You know, that, I mean, I understand a lot of the things, and we've had this conversation obviously in the past, and everybody else has too, about the whole win, importance of wins and what that number means, you know, is different now than it used to be. I mean, you know, that's why Flaherty actually has, you know, maybe an outside chance of finishing pretty high in the Cy Young voting, because the way he's pitched, even though the win total is not going to be very high. So, You know, but you got to be in the right spot at the right time to get those wins. But you also have to be consistent. I mean, I think that's the thing he's done is he's had a couple of hiccups here and there during the course of the season, but he's learned how to pitch. I mean, he's learned what he, again, kind of like a Colton Wong situation or even like a Flaherty a little bit. You know, those young guys are taking advantage of the opportunity and they've learned what they have to do to be successful and what they have to stay away from. And by and large, he's been able to do that. I mean, he knows he's not going to get a lot of strikeouts. He knows he's going to get a lot of balls. Ground balls, and I think he's probably the biggest beneficiary this year of the improved defense on the Cardinals is the guys, you know, mistakes he might have made a year ago trying to, you know, get a guy, strike a guy out because he was worried about, you know, somebody, you know, swabbing a play up behind him defensively. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. Pretty much, you know, 95% of whatever it is of balls that get hit on the ground, they're going to get caught and turned into outs. So that's another, you know, talk about the confidence of not having to worry about pitching, you know, because of what Yadi's going to tell you what pitch to throw. They also have confidence in not worrying about the defense because they know the guys are going to make the plays behind them.
Rob, it's certainly not always easy for Carlos Martinez, but what have you made about of the way that he's adjusted to that closer role?
He likes it. You know, I think it's helped his focus. I don't think his mind kind of wanders as much as it would if you're a starter. He you know, knows he can come in there and fire at 100% and not have to worry about saving anything for the fifth or sixth inning. So I think that's been huge for him. I think he likes the you know, pitching in game situations where the game is on the line. And yeah, he makes a couple of them sometimes a little more interesting probably than Cardinal fans would like, but by and large, he gets the job done. I think that I saw the stat today, the Cardinals have the highest save percentage of the National League as far as the fewest blown saves are concerned. So that's a credit to how Hicks was pitching before he got hurt, and it's a credit to Martinez and how well he's pitched, you know, here the second half of the season.
Are you surprised at how effective the bullpen has been here in the second half of the season, especially since if you take Andrew Miller out of the equation, the guys that are getting the job done, they're not exactly household names around baseball?
No, I think the biggest surprise has been Gallegos. I mean, I don't think really anybody knew what they had in him, you know, even after the trade, even after he came up from Memphis, you know, early in the season. I think, you know, most people thought, oh, he's a fill-in guy, somebody's hurt. He'll be here a couple of weeks and then go back to Memphis. But, yeah, he's been a revelation how well he has pitched. So I know he had a little hiccup here a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, kind of has, you know, risen through that a little bit and has pitched really well. So, yeah, I like the bullpen. I mean, I think they've got, you know, guys out there that can, you know, pretty much handle any situation. You know, Brevy has pitched really well, you know, by and large for this whole season. And, you know, Gant, I know, had the big blow-up game the other day against Milwaukee where he walked, you know, the bases loaded and they blew that game in the ninth inning. But, you know, his old body of work for the whole season has been really good. So I think, you know, they've also benefited from the fact that the starters have gone deeper, you know, because of the pitching of the starters has been better. That's taken away some of the innings that they were having to cover, you know, in all of those starts. So I think it's a collaborative effort. The starters have been better, and I think that's made the bullpen better.
I think if you would have told Cardinals fans back in April or read off Dexter Fowler's stat line at this point of the season and said that he'd be making an impact at this point in the season in a playoff chase, they would have taken it. How would you have assessed the year of Dexter Fowler to this point?
It's been a good season. I mean, it's been a good bounce back season. You know, he's certainly better than he, you know, was a year ago. He's healthy. He's more engaged. He's more, you know, energetic. I think he's been it's been a nice season for him, and I think he's one of the reasons why this club has played as well as they have. You know, they struggled so much early in the season with trying to figure out what to do about the leadoff spot. You know, Carpenter's struggles are, you know, well documented, but even some of the other guys at that point when they you know, put Fowler in there, he didn't perform either. So, you know, they tried Wong, they tried, they tried, you know, basically everybody until, you know, kind of was after Edmund came up, and, you know, he had some success there. Then they kind of then moved, you know, Fowler and Wong up to the top together, and they just have both played really well. So, yeah, I think he is, especially the second half of the season, but one of the keys to their success.
Rob Raines covers the Cardinals for STLSportsPage.com. Before we let you go, best guess what happens over the next four games? Are we looking at a split? Cardinals taking 3 of 4. How do you see things playing out in Chicago?
I would suspect. I would if I was going to, you know, put a milkshake on it, I would say they split. Now, I'm not saying which two games both sides win, but I just think that's, you know, they're pretty evenly matched clubs. I mean, they're both kind of flawed clubs. I mean, obviously, you know, the Cubs are down a little bit with Rizzo and Baez being hurt, and with Hamels not being able to pitch. So I think the Cardinals are healthier at this point. I think the Cardinals are a different club. than they played than they were when they played up there in the first half of the season. You know, they haven't been in Chicago since June, so you know it's a different club. Their confidence level is a lot higher. You know, as a, you know, we talked about Fowler and Wambe at the top of the order. So I look for Goldschmidt to have a big series. He's always played well at Wrigley. I think he's the kind of guy that he's calm, he's quiet, but I think he's energized a little bit by being in the pennant race too. So if I was going to pick one guy to have kind of a big series for the Cardinals, I would pick Carl Goldschmidt.
Rob, we appreciate it, and I have a feeling we'll be talking with you during the postseason coming up in a few weeks. Thanks a lot.
That'd be fun. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Rob Raines giving us the Cardinals' perspective on tonight's series opener. Jack Flaherty pitching about as well as any starter in the National League at this point, going up against Kyle Hendricks, who has had the Cardinals' number all season long. It's going to be, should be, a dynamic opener. And then what happens over the next three games is anybody's guess.
So 10-9 ball game tonight?
Well,
I doubt it.
The total is 7 runs between the two teams at the Elite Sportsbook right now. So they are thinking it's going to be low scoring tonight, but you never know. The offenses could, let's put it this way. If the two teams get into the bullpens early, especially with the state of the Cubs bullpen, and Craig Kimbrell is back off the injured list, with the state of the Cubs bullpen, you could see some runs scored late in this game. I don't know. What reliever, if you're a Cubs fan, would you trust right now in the 7th, 8th, or 9th innings with the game on the line tonight? 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I'd say Rowan Wick, but I believe he's pitched in back-to-back nights. Cishek has been used very heavily. I don't know. And I don't trust Kimbrell coming back off the injured list immediately either. So I think it's a must-win. They're all four of these are must-wins essentially for the Cubs because they can't afford to just tread water. They've got to gain ground, and they've got to gain ground by winning games. You can't win a game and gain ground in the wild card race without also simultaneously gaining ground in the central race. That's what happens when you win against the team that's leading the division. So I know they've got to win. That's an understatement. But tonight, I think a victory would set the tone for the rest of the series. And coming off just a gut punch of a loss to a dead meat Cincinnati Reds team last night, if this team comes out and plays flat, it could spell disaster for the next three games. 319-366-1600. We'll get a Cubs perspective from Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 WMVP and ESPNChicago.com coming up at 6:05 tonight. We need to take a quick timeout. We do need to let you know that happy hour is winding down here at Mulligan's. Just a couple more minutes to enjoy $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks. Then at 6 o'clock, half-price wings. Buddy is already pacing like an expectant father waiting outside the delivery room. 366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM when we return after this.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Do you need a work shoe that looks so good you can wear it straight from the job out to dinner? Then look no further than Skechers Safety Toe Work Shoes. Skechers Work Shoes come in a variety of great styles that look just as good on the job as off. Plus, they're super comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. They feel as good as opening your paycheck after a hefty week of overtime. And speaking of your paycheck, Skechers Safety Toe Work Shoes won't break the bank. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
It's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn bonus points on more than 250 offers. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or browse through our offers at O'ReillyAuto.com, where you can earn double points shopping online. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-471-4351. That's 1-800-471-4351.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-285-4954. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-285-4954. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-285-4954. 800-285-4954.
We welcome you back in the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com with you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, 1060 Old Marion Road, northeast here in Cedar Rapids. Half-price wings are just 2 minutes away. That means the third and final hour also 2 minutes away here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. With you till 7 o'clock tonight. Cubs and Cardinals about to get underway on Fox tonight. And we will get the Chicago perspective on this pivotal four-game series from Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN 1000, WMVP in Chicago. He's going to be joining us in just a little bit. Buddy Lee making another round of mulligans here, getting some folks who just arrived, handing out some KGYM hats, some cups. Looks like we've got some Hawkeye football schedule posters over there as well. If you're an Iowa fan and don't want to make the trek all the way to Iowa City to pick one of those up, we've got 2 4-packs of vouchers to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in action this season. They are home Saturday night hosting the Waterloo Blackhawks in a preseason exhibition game. You can use these vouchers for that game. You can use them during the regular season. They're green zone tickets, very nice seats. And the only way you can win them is by joining us here at Mulligan's. We will step aside when we come back. Not only will we have half-price wings for the remainder of the show, but Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 talking Cubs baseball with me and Alex after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Yankees right-hander Domingo Germán is now on administrative leave under baseball's domestic violence policy. MLB is launching an investigation on Germán. The exact circumstances for now are unknown, but ESPN's Jeff Passan reports MLB learned just 2 days ago about an incident. Baseball right now, the Yankees hosting the Angels. Second inning in the Bronx. They are scoreless. A New York win clinches the division title and would be the Yankees' 100th win of the season. Elsewhere, eighth inning in Milwaukee, the Brewers lead the Padres 5-1. Earlier today, the Braves beat the Phillies 5-4. The Braves' magic number to clinch the division is now 1. Ronald Acuna Jr. with his 40th home run. He's only the third player in history to hit 40 at age 21 or younger. For the third day in a row, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton did not practice with a sprained left foot. Coach Ron Rivera walked out of his press conference today after several questions about Newton. He hopes to know more about Newton's status tomorrow. The Panthers play the Cardinals Sunday. The 0-2 Giants play the Buccaneers in Tampa Sunday with rookie Daniel Jones at quarterback. ESPN's Victor Cruz wonders if Eli Manning will end up somewhere else next season.
Seeing him in a different jersey, a different uniform would be eerie and weird. But his loyalty to the New York Giants, I think, is what, you know, stands out the most for me, that I don't know if he'll walk up there and say, hey, trade me.
Victor Cruz on Golic and Wingo. Jags cornerback Jalen Ramsey is active and could play tonight against the Titans.
Coming up on Friday, live from New York, it's Golic and Wingo.
Catch us at the Green Journal, East Meadow, ahead of the Jets Patriots. Plus, it's your last chance to win your way to tailgate with the Golics at Notre Dame when the Irish play USC. Golic and Wingo Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Twins and the White Sox one more time in 2019. The Twins with 13 wins over Chicago. The all-time Twins record for most wins against Chicago any one season, 14. They had done that 2 previous seasons. Could they match that behind Jake Odorizzi in Game 3 on what turned out to be a perfect evening for baseball at Target Field? Twins were down early 1-0 and offensively had nothing going. The White Sox with kind of a bullpen night, and that worked out very well from the Chicago side of things, as the Twins really did not threaten all night long until the middle part of the ballgame. In fact, they were without a hit until there was one out in the sixth inning. At the time, they were down. Still, it was a 2-0 game at that point, but then with one out, Jorge Polanco singled. He would eventually score on an Eddie Rosario RBI hit to make it a 2-1 game. It stayed that way until the eighth inning. And it looked like the Twins had some magic in them once again. Eddie Rosario batting, bases empty, 2 outs, still a one-run game with the White Sox pitching and the Twins at the plate late in the ballgame. And the 0-2 pitch, a drive to right field deep in the corner. Over goes Garcia on the track, at the wall, jumps up, and that ball's in play and takes a big bounce off the wall. Eddie trying for third. Engel's throw is going to be in time to get him at third. Boy, you never make that third out at third base, and that costs the Twins there. Eddie thrown out. Yes, Engel played the bounce perfectly, but still stay at second base. You're in scoring position instead. Eddie thrown out at third base. The White Sox, so momentum after that defensive play. Then rookie catcher Zach Collins homered off Brusdar Graterol to lead off the ninth to make it a 3-1 game. Alex Colomay worked a 1-2-3 ninth, locking down his 28th save, and the White Sox win the game 3-1. The Twins scored one run, up to 877 runs this season, tying a club record, matching what they did back in 1996. But big picture, the division lead is down to 4 wide. The Indians won their game at home over the Tigers. They are 17-1 against Detroit this year. They'll play one more time on Thursday. The magic number stays at 7, 93-59 on the year, the Twins with the 3-1 loss on Wednesday night. Four-game series at Target Field with the Royals begins on Thursday. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:40 first pitch. Kyle Gibson will throw for the Twins. But the final from Wednesday, Chicago 3, Twins 1. From Target Field, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
And it is 6:04. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com, where we have a developing story. Alex, we are not going to be able to chat with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago tonight. He was set to join us right now as they're just minutes away from first pitch baseball night in America on Fox. The Cubs and the Cardinals kicking off a four-game series. A breaking story in Chicago has pulled Jesse's attention away from a small radio station in eastern Iowa, and it is a big story. Anthony Rizzo is playing tonight for the Cubs and batting leadoff. This is Anthony Rizzo, who seemed to suffer a pretty severe-looking ankle injury.
It wasn't pretty.
Last Sunday against the Pirates. He's been in a walking boot for the rest of the week. They thought boot for 5 to 7 days, out for the remainder of the regular season. If the Cubs are lucky, he comes back in the postseason. He's in the lineup, and he's batting leadoff tonight.
He's back, and I think this shows you at this point in the season, guys are going to be playing not at 100%. I think both guys on both sides, and this is certainly a bump for the Cubs, and let's see if they can make it an emotional bump going into what is going to be a very emotional series.
Rizzo leading off, playing first base. The Cubs lineup came out 9 minutes ago. It has everybody covering the team scrambling at this point, and Castellanos, Bryant, and Schwarber, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Zobrist at second tonight. The defensive range there, if the Cardinals can pull the ball to right field and second base. A Contreras behind the plate, Jason Hayward in center, and Nico Horner, who's really been a revelation to the Cubs and one of the guys that was looking forward to discussing with Jesse, because I think he's a guy that could fill the void at second base for this team next season if the Cubs really are committed to lowering payroll or keeping payroll down or trying to keep Nicholas Castellanos around by signing him to an extension. One way to do that would be to plug a hole at second base with a young player who you're paying pennies on the dollar, and that would be Nico Horner, the first member of the 2018 draft class to get to the major league. So Kyle Hendricks is getting a little bit of a boost tonight. I can't imagine Anthony Rizzo is going to be tremendously mobile playing first base tonight. This isn't the American League. You don't just put him in the lineup as a designated hitter. And to me, Alex, having as somebody who has dealt with poor ankles for much of his adult life, ankle injuries are easily re-aggravated. And to me, this is Joe Maddon saying, I'm putting all my chips in. I may not have a job in 10 games. We need to beat the Cardinals. We need offense. It completely abandoned us the last couple nights against the Reds. I'm standing up from my chair. I'm pushing my chips in. I'm taking my sunglasses off. I'm putting them on top of my hat, and I'm going to go over and hang out on the rail and see what the dealer turns up.
No, I think that's exactly what it is. I think that for Anthony Rizzo, it's all right. Let's see if this can't be the lift that this team needs, the spark that this team needs after looking sort of listless last night against the Cincinnati Reds, really the last two nights against the Cincinnati Reds. So should be a fun series, and it looks like they're about to get things underway, and I'm glad you said we'll give Jesse a pass on this one.
Yeah, not that I'm the arbiter of holding somebody who's way more successful than I am in this business to high standards, but why isn't Rizzo batting third or fourth? 0905 on the text line. Because for whatever reason, when he bats leadoff, he tends to do good things. And Cub fans have joked that he's the best leadoff hitter in baseball. He draws walks. He hits home runs. He tends to spark things at the top of the lineup. I don't know whether it's the novelty of it, but the past performance is there with him hitting atop the lineup. And they haven't had a true leadoff hitter since the guy who's in the lineup tonight for the Cardinals left town after 2016, and that's Dexter Fowler. This team has desperately needed, and I think this offseason will address, finding a leadoff hitter. But we'll see how things play out. This is the sort of reeks of desperation tonight, and everybody's going to be lauding this move if it works, and everybody's going to be questioning it, especially if there's a setback and you know definitively that he's not going to be available to you for the remaining nine games of the season. But, hey, it's almost like if you lose tonight, what do the next nine really mean? Because at this point, you'd be four back of the Cardinals in the division race. The Brewers, by the way, are beating the Padres 5-1 in the ninth inning at Miller Park. So a victory by Milwaukee there at the moment would move them a half game ahead of the Cubs in the wild card standings. So let's play the game here. A Cubs loss tonight moves them four back of the Cardinals and a full game behind the Brewers in the wild card standings. A Cubs victory tonight, they're within two games of the Cardinals, and they remain in a virtual tie with the Brewers. This is assuming that Milwaukee hangs on to that 5-4 lead at Miller Park. So there's a lot riding on game one of this four-game series tonight, but you can tell that given the lineup construction, the news that Rizzo's playing, they're going all in tonight.
Yeah, they realize the magnitude of this game in particular, not just this series.
The problem to me is the Cardinals aren't coming into this sleepwalking either. They understand how important this is, and there's nobody that would like to step on the Cubs' throat in their own building in Wrigley Field than Mike Schilt, a guy who understands the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry. And they got no better guy to do it than Jack Flaherty, the young ace who, if, I don't know whether you'll even remember at the beginning of the season, I said outside long shot candidate, he could pitch like a Cy Young contender. And first couple months of the season, it didn't look like that at all. They were wondering if maybe he needed some more time in Memphis to get right. And then recently here, and by recently I mean over the last couple months, he's been absolutely tremendous. He's been their ace. And it's ace against ace tonight. Yeah, Even though Yu Darvish has been pitching very well, I still think you would look and say Kyle Hendricks has been the most consistent pitcher all season long from start to finish for the Cubs, who they'll have a dilemma on their hands if they make the postseason, especially if it's a one-and-done type of setup. Who do you give the ball to? Now, I guess that would depend on where the pitching rotation would fall at the end of the regular season, but at this point, I don't think it's John Lester, who is the guy that Madden has turned to in big game after big game in his tenure in Chicago. The way that Lester has pitched this year, recently in the last, let's say, month and a half, I don't trust him anymore in big game situations. Cardinals are going to miss him, by the way. They won't even get to tee off on him this series, but Alec Mills tomorrow,
this is just such a huge game.
This now makes tonight much, much bigger in the grand scheme of things, because Cole Hamels scratched tomorrow, so it's Alec Mills followed by Jose Quintana on Saturday, and then you have Yu Darvish going on Sunday in the series finale. You got to win tonight because, let's face it, Alec Mills is what he is tomorrow, and if you can get five decent innings out of him, I would be surprised by that. You got to win tonight, and you got to do it with Anthony Rizzo batting leadoff and playing first, who was hobbling around Chicago on a scooter that had streamers and a basket full of goodies hanging off the front, like he was an elementary school kid riding around with a baseball card in the spokes of his bicycle. 319-366-1600. We have a poll question for you today at KGYMRadio.com. It has to do with how the National League Central will look at the end of this four-game series. You can vote KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. As we mentioned, seven of the last 10 in the regular season, the Cubs and Cardinals will be playing each other. The only break in between, after Sunday, the Cardinals will head to Arizona for three, and the Cubs head east to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates in what should be the waning days of the Clint Hurdle, Ray Searage era. I imagine Pittsburgh is going to clean house after the end of the regular season, but you never know. Neil Huntington and the Pirates brass could decide to stay the course. I don't think that's what they will do, but stranger things have happened.
The course doesn't look so good right
now. No, it doesn't. I feel sorry for Mitch Keller. He is going to be part of a long rebuilding process. You know who I don't feel sorry for? Buddy Lee. He just got his half-price wings. So
they have arrived.
If you're coming in the door to get signed up for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets, find the man sitting at the table in the back by us, licking ranch off a cup. That was strangely almost erotic the way that he did. Look, the man enjoys his wings. I'm going to leave it at that. And the ranch was there, and he licked it. 319-366-1600, the Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers text line, is available for you to chat with us here directly, or you can pick up the phone and give us a call. A big thank you to our producer, Kyle Mann, back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. When we come back, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to make him work, because not only is he going to bring you another big board update, the third and final one today brought to you by Alexander Lumber, but he's also going to line up some audio of Phil Parker and LeVar Woods from yesterday in Iowa City, the Iowa coordinators meeting with the media during the Hawkeyes bye week. All that and more to come in the final 30 minutes of tonight's program. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on ESPN Radio here in Eastern Iowa, 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more of the show after this.
Lawn legends run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Sad!
Tomorrow, it's all about high school football. First stop, Clear Creek Amana for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. Join Whirlpool Careers, the Iowa National Guard, and area businesses handing out free stuff, playing games, and getting students pumped for kickoff. Then it's off to the stadium for Clear Creek Amana's matchup with Marion. Catch every pass, fumble, and touchdown on 106.3 FM with Gary Fickle and Miles Klotz. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, gearing up for live high school gridiron action tomorrow, only on The Gym.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow.
I think you should leave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
And they are probably getting ready to do a pretty brisk business in Riverside tonight, would be my guess, between the Cubs and the Cardinals, which are underway. By the way, you can live bet games through the mobile site that Elite Sportsbook has set up. So if you miss the start of a game, you're not completely shut out of it. Cubs and Cardinals tonight, and Thursday night football, Jacksonville and Tennessee. The NFL always good for the sports books here locally. You can catch WagerWise every Wednesday here on KGYM, a presentation of Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge. That airs at 6 o'clock on Wednesday prior to the resumption of our 6 o'clock hour. Podcasts of that segment are available on our website, KGYMradio.com. It is final, by the way, at Miller Park. The Brewers have defeated the San Diego Padres 5-1. The Brewers now with a half-game lead at the moment on the Cubs for the National League wild card. Cubs-Cardinals underway. Kyle Hendricks, Jack Flaherty, the pitching matchup, and Anthony Rizzo in the lineup for the Cubs. Lots of red and lots of blue here at Mulligan's tonight. Half-price wings underway. The KGYM road trip brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. And Alex, let's talk Hawkeye football for a little bit, even though there's no football game to look forward to this weekend, which gives us a rare September opportunity to enjoy a Saturday off. Hawkeyes will have another bye week November 2nd, as everybody learned last weekend as they were looking at the calendars trying to figure out what happens if Iowa and Iowa State can't resume playing this game. There was the thought that maybe they would play on November 2nd since their second bye week's lined up. No game to look forward to this week. Everybody gets to rest up, heal up for Middle Tennessee State. I saw a social media post earlier today from Kayvon Merriweather. Looks like he is returning to practice. The players can use Instagram. The players can be on social media, Instagram, Facebook. They just can't be on Twitter. It's a very specific social media ban.
Well, and I know if there's one that you should ban, it's that one.
Yeah, I think that's the one to keep people away from interacting the easiest with fans. We did hear yesterday from Brian Ferentz. We brought you Words with Ferentz. Normally it's Words with Kirk Ferentz. Words with Ferentz yesterday brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. So we won't focus on what Brian had to say anymore today, but we didn't get a chance because of the timing of the availability. It was in the afternoon in Iowa City, and other circumstances prevented us from bringing you this. So we wanted to focus on it today. Phil Parker, Iowa's longtime defensive coordinator, longtime defensive backs coach before taking over for Norm Parker as coordinator, no relation. Always interesting to hear what he has to say. He is a no-nonsense, what you would call a football guy. A guy that if you met him and somebody said, what do you think this guy does for a living? you'd think, hey, this guy probably coaches football somewhere. And that's meant to be a compliment on the 0% chance that Phil Parker is listening right now. Here are some of the highlights of Phil Parker's address to the media yesterday. You're going to hear him talk about the cash position, the nickel package, what they are working on over the bye week, trying to figure out a way to unleash the pass rush, which has been a question mark for some Hawkeye fans through three games. A.J. Epenesa comes up. Hawkeye fans have talked about his production versus what's showing up in the box score. And his thoughts on the secondary as well. A little thin at the moment, but they've got pretty good depth, and you'll hear Phil Parker explain that in a term that anybody who's watched Hawkeye football for a really long time will understand. So Phil Parker yesterday in Iowa City.
After the first half against Miami, you guys scrapped kind of your nickel package, went straight 4-3 pretty much the last 2.5 games. Was that based on the injury status of your players? Was that based on need and what you saw out of your defense?
Well, I think it's a lot of things that go into the fact of, I think the first game was the way their substitution was going and the pace of the game was going. They were trying to keep us out of certain packages. So we kind of adjusted on the run there, and I think we did a pretty good job with that. You know, sometimes you got to be very careful when you're going in and out, and then obviously limited us with some of the guys injured in the back end. With our package, so we moved DJ back out to the corner spot, and that's where he ended up. So we probably, a little bit of lack of depth probably hurt us a little bit.
Do you see yourselves, even when you guys start coming back, do you see you still sticking with 4-3 with the way Nick Niemann's played?
Well, I think we've done it, but we'll go both ways. And then depending on who we're playing and what their personnel is going to be, and if we can adjust, we're going to try to get in, you know, match personnel as much as we can.
What's the most, maybe one or two things you really want to work on as a defense during this bye week and moving forward that you need to improve?
Yeah, I think, you know, the last couple games, what happens during a game, can we make adjustments? And I think, you know, we have been making some adjustments, and to make sure that the kids can see things. You know, I'm looking at the players gathering more information and letting them tell them what is going on and what to expect. And I think we always need to be growing like that. Just not a lot of information being retained in certain areas that we need. And I think we've done a better job and we're working on it. But that's constantly. You're working on it all the time. Obviously, the tackling, I think, should be better. The communication that we got to have. There's a couple plays out there that we left out there that, you know, if we would have made the right call, something could have been different, you know. But once again, in a atmosphere like that, you know, that you miss some things, but we have to be better communicators. That's everybody, including myself.
How do you get more of that pass rush package where Chauncey slides in, Imani comes in? How do you get more sacks, I guess, because you've got some pressure?
Well, it depends a little bit. I think, you know, teams are going to start, you know, looking at AJ, looking at Chauncey, where their guys at. They're going to, you know, if you've got a four-man rush, they're going to start sliding and protecting and having more guys to block it. And I think, you know, Iowa State did a good job of moving the pocket, and they weren't sitting in the pocket as much as they wanted to. So did that help us? Probably helped them. Did it hurt? Probably helped them. Probably hurt them a little bit too, you know. So, you know, I think we did get pressure on them a little bit at times, lost contain at times. I think you just keep working, and when things come, they come. I just don't think you can just say, hey, go out there, and it's always going to be this. And, I mean, they know where the guys are and protect them. If I need to get more heat, you're going to have to bring more guys, because they're protecting with more guys.
Are you noticing a big change this year? I know it's only three games, with how teams are approaching AJ compared to his first 2 years here. Is it a big difference?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of difference. They know where he's at, and you know. But I think AJ, he's been putting a lot of pressure on the guys anyways. You know, the second play of the game when we came back out, I think there's three guys within a half a yard from the quarterback when they hit the slant on the second play of the game on defense. There's three guys in his face, so I mean, you know, that was, you know, I think they're still getting pressure, you know. Maybe they don't have the sacks, but they're making the quarterback throw before he wants to throw the ball. And that's kind of what a little bit what that RPO stuff is, protects a lot of those guys to, you know, hey, get rid of the ball fast. So it's going to be hard to get pressure. That's why some guys are dropping eight guys, you know, rushing three, dropping eight.
When you looked at going into training camp or thereabouts, you probably looked and thought you almost had an abundance of pretty good, especially cornerback, and now you're getting to the point of almost true freshmen are out there. I mean, have you had anything like this before at that position?
You know, that just kind of goes with the job around here. I mean, it just, you know, whoever you got over there, coach the guys that show up to practice and ready to play. You know, if they're injured, you know, what are you going to do about it? I can only play with the guys we got and get them in the right spot. And if they're learning every day, because they're in the meetings too and they're practicing, they have the same opportunity, you know, and we're not very complicated on defense. So, you know, they should pick up on things pretty well. So to me, if you're out there, you can help us win. I'm going to be coaching you just like I expect you to be. You know, put somebody in, you got to be the guy. It'd be seamless. Now, obviously, we gave up two touchdowns last week. You know, two explosive plays. We gave up two explosive plays in Miami game. That's four. That's a little bit too much for me. But, you know, if you give up more than three, you know, I don't like that. If you give up two, we're down still like 10 points a game. So, I mean, I think that's a good place to be at. But don't even want to give them up. But it happens.
Just a little bit of what Phil Parker had to say yesterday in Iowa City. Anything stick out at you from those five or six cuts?
Well, this early bye week is coming at a great time for this team, especially defensively and especially in the secondary. And we're not used to seeing two bye weeks on schedules, and now this year, with all three teams that we cover, we're going to see that. They're thin right now. And I thought several times during the course of that game Iowa State took advantage of the matchups of not being able to go to that 4-2-5 and finding a linebacker on a skill position player, and they made them pay a couple of times. So they were able to get away with it. They were able to win the game and then go into the bye week, and we'll see what that secondary depth chart looks like on the other side of this bye week next Tuesday, and can they get some of these players back healthy, because they're going to need them against some really explosive offenses moving forward, not Middle Tennessee, but once they get into Big Ten play.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn has a third member of the party. He is back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He's our producer, Kyle Mann, the guy who's responsible for bringing you pretty much all of the guests that you hear Monday through Friday from 4 to 7. Also on the gym class from 3 until 4. Three times a day, he brings you big board updates brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. Check them out at their new location on 420th Street, or you can visit their interior showroom. They're a lot more than just a lumber yard. The Answers by Alexander showroom is what I'm talking about on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
Iowa's Alaric Jackson entered this season with some hype as a possible first-round draft pick, but all that got a little bit murky when he went down with a knee injury early in Week 1. He avoided catastrophe, however, and there was optimism he may be able to return as soon as the Middle Tennessee State game, and offensive line coach Tim Polasek made it sound as if that's still a possibility. He told Chad Lystico and Mark Emmert that Jackson's still dealing with a bone bruise, but they received some good news on his prognosis earlier this week. Iowa's on a bye week, so that's going to help with Jackson's recovery, but Iowa State will host Louisiana Monroe this Saturday, and if you were planning on going, there's a small chance you need to tweak your tailgating plans. Rainfall already this week and more expected on game day has caused the school to announce the closure of all grass tailgating lots. Details of what you should do instead are available at Cyclones.com. Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson, Mississippi this weekend, and he put himself in very good position with a 67 in his first round earlier today. That puts him in a tie for fifth at 5-under. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Royals on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, with Kyle Gibson on the mound for the Twins against former Cub Mike Montgomery for the Royals. Over on the South and Main Gyms, we'll also have the Titans and Jags on Thursday Night Football. Former Iowa safety Amani Hooker will be number 37 for the Titans, and you will be seeing him on the field in certain nickel packages.
All right, why would a guy from Australia who spent his college years, the early part of his college years, in sunny Arizona, Tempe to be exact, want to come to Iowa City? Michael Sleep Dalton, he's been a revelation in the punting game for the Hawkeyes. When we return, you'll hear LeVar Woods tell the somewhat bizarre story of how Michael Sleep Duncan wound up at Iowa. Why did he choose the Hawkeyes? Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now. 800-510-7517.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Scoreless so far after half an inning between the Cardinals and Cubs at Wrigley Field. Kyle Hendricks able to work around some early troubles, and Jack Flaherty working through the Cubs lineup in the bottom of the first inning. Cardinals come into play tonight with a three-game lead on the Cubs in the NL Central standings. We'll see what changes, if anything, over the course of the next three-plus hours, given how long baseball games take. Certainly didn't take 3 hours for Buddy Lee to power his way through his half-price wings tonight here at Mulligan's. If you've never joined us for the KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, that is the special here at Mulligan's from 6 until close every Thursday night. Buddy's getting people registered for tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for another season of Rough Riders hockey. Enjoy getting to the ice arena and seeing some of the young talent that eventually, some of it does make its way to the NHL. And you can point to guys like Justin Abdelkader or Jordan Binnington.
Jack Hughes, the number one pick in last year's draft, probably a lot of play for the USA developmental team that sometimes comes through Cedar Rapids. But yeah, David Backes, Joe Pavelski, plenty of really good players that you see before they go to college. The USHL is a major junior league, but unlike the ones in Canada, you don't give up your amateurism. You can still go to college, and you can after you're done with playing for the Rough Riders. So I have learned my lesson. I have allowed far too many really, really good NHL players to come and go through the ice arena for me to miss, for me to not go to several games this year.
Well, we've got four packs of tickets. Buddy Lee is going to be handing these out momentarily, so you still have time. Not much time, but you do have time to join us here and get registered. Riders at home Saturday night. They have an exhibition game against one of their rivals, the Waterloo Blackhawks. Tickets available now at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. You can get them online at RiderTownUSA.com as well. We mentioned LeVar Woods talking about the special teams yesterday in Iowa City. He spoke in between Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker. And one of the anecdotes that he shared with everybody that was assembled yesterday was how Iowa wound up procuring the services of Michael Sleep Dalton, the graduate transfer from Australia who began his college career punting at Arizona State. People would probably look at this and go, you're from Australia. You go to one of the biggest party schools with some of the most beautiful women in the world. If you've ever been to ASU in Tempe, Alex is blushing here just at the mere thought. And now you wind up at Iowa. People look and go, how or why? LeVar Woods saying that It's a resume builder. I'll let him explain here.
What's the biggest adjustment for Michael as we kind of get later in the season? You know, one thing he talked about during media day was that he wanted to be challenged and kicking in cold weather. You know, I mean, are you guys looking at that already, or what are some things that he could do as, you know, we get into the later weeks here as he tries to add that to his repertoire?
Certainly, that's going to be a challenge for him because he, you know, the last school he was at was warm weather all the time, and he's played in rain and played in some conditions before, but not like he's going to see here in October, November in Iowa. But I think that's part of the reason, as you mentioned, that he came here. You know, that's one of the things that drew him to come into Iowa. And I think, you know, last week was a good test for him in a game where the condition, the field was a little bit muddy and wet. You know, it was rain and all that stuff. I think that's part of the deal for him in dealing with those elements. And now you know, it's the weather starts to change. Wind's going to be a factor, potentially snow, cold. But I think for him, it's just getting used to those things and having a plan like we did last week and executing that plan and going out there and doing what he does.
So you're saying bad weather actually helped you get a player for a change?
You know, I think that was something that wanted to draw him here, you know. And that was one of the things that when he reached out that he wants to kick in the Big Ten because, you know, punters in the Big Ten have to deal with weather. And he feels like if he has a chance to play at the next level, that's something to add to his resume.
So there you go. It's a resume builder for Michael Sleep Dalton.
I remember we had him on the Big Hour, which is tomorrow.
Yep.
At 6 o'clock, from 6 to 7, with Rob Howe. We had him on the Big Hour, and I asked him about kicking in conditions, and he sort of downplayed it at the time. He's like, "Oh yeah, I've kicked at Oregon and Washington," and I'm like, "Oh, you're adorable."
Yeah, you're not.
It's a little different here.
You're not kicking in a driving sleet against Minnesota with Floyda Rosedale on the line, or against Nebraska on Black Friday when the temperatures and the wind chill are in the single digits. But as LeVar mentioned, you go play in the NFL. It's the same reason why people say, "Well, why do major league teams have farm teams in Cedar Rapids, Iowa?" and you know, all over the Midwest. Why do you play in April when the weather is terrible? Because there are major league teams in Detroit and Minnesota and Chicago where the weather is not all that great in April and May.
Someone from Melbourne, Australia doesn't understand that. They have to get their bodies adjusted to it, so you put them in those situations.
So Arizona State's loss, Herm Williams' loss, Herm Edwards. I don't know who Herm Williams is. Maybe if you
sounds
know
like a country singer.
If you know a Herm, I did. I'm deep into Ken Burns' new documentary on country music. It's airing right now on PBS. It's fantastic. If you've missed any episodes and you've got a Roku, the PBS app is free. You can go back and watch them all. I highly recommend it. If you know who popped into my head as Herm Williams, if that's a human being, you can let me know on the Hurtin and Stocker text line 366-1600. Herm Edwards' loss is Iowa's gain here. He has he's stabilized a major area of trouble.
Yes.
From the 2018 Hawkeye football team.
They have not really had a serviceable punter since Ron Caluzzi. And Ron Caluzzi did a good job coming in. I think Michael Sleep Dalton is a step up from that. I can't remember the last time that Iowa's had a guy that not only is good in distance punting, but also that end over end, pin you deep type punting. So that it's a real key for this team. I remember a couple seasons ago we're talking about a team that was fumbling punts and missing field goals and having a punter that was struggling to flip field position. That is not something that Iowa can afford to have, and it seems like finally they have stabilized everything.
There's one other clip, and I'll let Kyle get it set up here, but it did interest me because it's sort of gone unspoken to this point because it really hasn't been an issue, but Nico Reganey has been returning punts for Iowa this year over Amir Smith-Marset, and like I said, nobody's really talking about it because it hasn't been an issue up until now. But LeVar explained yesterday what he saw in Nico Reganey that allowed for him to, as a Cubs fan comes up to Buddy Lee and gets registered for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets, what he saw in Nico Reganey that gave him the trust to put him back there as the punt returner.
What led to your going with Nico as your punt return guy? I know Amir was, I think, top of the list for a while. And then what area, you mentioned that as an area of improvement. What would you like to see happen back there?
Yeah, I think Nico's done a good job. You know, like he hasn't been back there before as a punt returner. And I think if you look at, you know, sort of the library he's had for three games now, started off with a punter where he kind of knew where the ball was going to go. It was a traditional style punter with good spiral, kind of knew where it was going to go. And he was, you know, good to get his feet wet. With that, you know, because he knew where it was going to go. Then the next week was, okay, now you have a rugby punter where it could go this way, it could go that way. You're not quite sure how deep, how short, you know. So he had two games right away that were bang, bang, that were two good tests for him, you know. And I think then going to the next week, now we play a guy that, again, at Iowa State where he can traditional spiral or he can roll out in rugby. And I think, you know, he was able to take advantage of that. So I guess my point is with all that I think that I think you're only going to see him get better at that. I think you're only going to see him become more comfortable back there, making a decision, and then and fielding balls and getting his hands on them and getting more confident returning the ball. You know, I think that's what you're going to see coming up here in the future. And I think I've seen it myself in the last couple of weeks. You know, just week by week, he just gets more comfortable. And you guys have seen him at receiver, and he does pretty well. He's good in traffic, and he's got good hands, and he's a trustworthy guy.
But you picked him over Amir, so you must see something. Does he have that Kyle Groeneweg knack, or what do you see in him?
Sure. You know, I think, not to compare him to a person, but I feel like he does have the ability to make a quick decision, and he can run in traffic, you know. And so we went with him for that and Amir for kick returns, and you'll kind of see where it goes moving forward.
He can make a quick decision, and he can run in traffic, something that I've told my three-year-old son is a bad thing, so I hope he's not listening. I'll have to explain just exactly what LeVar meant there. Sometimes running in traffic is a good thing.
Well, sometimes it's dangerous, kind of like punt returning. Punt returning has to be like one of the most terrifying things in football. You have your eyes up at the sky where there's a ball coming down with sometimes a 4 or 5 second hang time and 11 guys of free release off the line of scrimmage running at you. It is a tough thing, and it's a thing that you have to sort of ease yourself into. You need more reps. You need more experience doing it. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to become more comfortable doing it. And there's a huge difference between kick returning and punt returning, and I don't think that there's really much of a decision here. Amir Smith-Marset is very cut out for returning kicks, where he can not worry about making a quick decision and get his acceleration going and find the hole. And Nico Reganey is perfect for catching the ball and making a couple of defenders miss right off the bat. So I agree. I'm not necessarily, if I'm Iowa staff, worried about it, because there hasn't been a crucial mistake. There hasn't been a fumble. There hasn't been a drop. There hasn't been a decision where he didn't fair catch it and got nailed. So far, despite the fact they haven't had a lot of production, I think it's been okay.
I totally forgot we have college football tonight.
We do.
Who do you like, Houston or Tulane?
We've been talking about this. Tulane, a 4.5-point favorite at home against Houston.
Up to 5 now.
Up to 5 points. I don't know what to think about that game. Tulane is a lot better than they were last year. They run that weird multiple triple option, spread option attack. I don't know how Houston's going to be able to defend it, but Houston does have one of the best quarterbacks in the group of five, and De'Eriq King. That's an interesting one. I've been asked about that 4 times today, that game.
Tulane's got some pretty sick uniforms it's wearing tonight.
The powder blue?
The powder blue, yeah. That game kicks off in about 12 minutes. 319-366-1600, the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, put the finishing touches on another edition of the program from Mulligan's. Back after this.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. Tips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-510-7517. That's 800-510-7517. Call now, 800-510-7517.
And we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you. The KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com coming to a close here at Mulligan's. Make sure you're checking out LinderTire.com for special online-only savings. You can put some savings to good use, especially with winter drawing near. Time for new tires, regular routine car maintenance. Linder handles it all for you. At three Iowa locations, Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. The road trip every other Thursday here at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. Half-price wings coming out of the kitchen hot and fast tonight. The happy hour specials daily from 3 until 6, always popular as well. Cubs and Cardinals scoreless so far at Wrigley Field as they are still in the bottom of the first inning. Jack Flaherty trying to pitch around a little bit of trouble there. We got Cyclone Tim with us rooting for one of these two teams because he really doesn't like the other team. He's a Reds fan. He's got his allegiances in this game. Let's put it that way. Plenty to get to tomorrow on the program. Jack Dom is going to stop by for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases, as Alex admires Tulane's powder. They look like North Carolina. Powder blue
helmets.
They look
very nice.
Troy Dannon, the former athletic director at UNI, now at Tulane, trying to do a good job of raising the profile of that program. Houston,
and
for those of you.
They have a good team, by the way.
Houston does as well, coached by Dana Holgerson. They held their own against Washington State in that game last Friday. That is on tap tonight, college football. We got Thursday night football kicking off, week 3, Jacksonville and Tennessee. That's coming up for you on KGYM as well. Tomorrow, we're talking baseball. Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports is going to be with us. His weekly segment, Odds and Ends. He'll let us know whether 19 points is too many in the Iowa State-Louisiana Monroe game. And then the Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com along with Ike Botker, former Hawkeye, set to join us on the program. It's been a while since we've chatted with Ike.
Current Buffalo Bill.
With the Bills, who have, if they could play the New York football teams every week, the other New York football teams, I should say.
Some bad football going on in the state of New York.
Hey, Buffalo, I want to ask him about Devin Singletary. That guy really intrigues me.
He can play. He's a little guy, but he's really good.
And just in case you were not aware that Fox is now in bed with WWE, Braun Strowman is in the broadcast booth for the Cubs-Cardinals game tonight.
I just saw a large gentleman with a beard, and I figured that he may be a professional wrestler.
The people who don't like professional wrestling with Fox and ESPN now getting into bed with Vince McMahon are going to be very, very confused moving forward. A big thank you. We thanked Kyle for the job that he does back at the studio. We need to say thank you to Buddy Lee as well. One of our favorite parts of hanging out here at Mulligan's for the road trip is the job that Buddy does for us in promoting the station and making people happy. People love to win things. I don't know if you know this or not, but a couple people are going to leave here tonight with 4 vouchers to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders over the course of the upcoming season. They're at home on Saturday night taking on Waterloo. It's a game that is an exhibition, so it doesn't matter in the standings, but it's always fun when those two rivals get together. Rough Riders tickets are prized tonight. Who knows what we'll have in 2 weeks the next time that we're back here. We're going to wrap things up from Mulligan's, the final minute. We can't really ask Alex, and Alex can't ask me what we're doing tonight because I think we're both going home to watch the remainder of this Cubs-Cardinals game because so far, so good. It's shaping up to be the duel of aces that we both have expected. Kyle Hendricks looked good to start with, and Jack Flaherty has looked pretty sharp as well as the Cardinals are able to get out of some trouble in the bottom of the first inning. So scoreless at Wrigley Field, Cardinals trying to maintain that three-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central standings. Cubs need a win not only for the division race, but for the wild card as well because the Brewers beat the Padres earlier today 5-1. Plenty of Hawkeye discussion tomorrow as well as Iowa State as they gear up for ULM. It's all coming your way beginning at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. Enjoy your Thursday night. And listen to the podcast if you missed anything. It's at kgymradio.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems.